If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Yes, hello. I almost said the right stuff episode 9. No, it's the Daily Shoah episode 918. Welcome.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
We are coming to you through through a new novel set of technical difficulties.
The Jewish apocalypse.
Men of our race are still being born with the right stuff.
Obviously, we shouldn't describe them, but they're funny. I find the new technical difficulties funny.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a whole new set of technical
basically,
difficulties.
Basically, everything works fine. It's just really slow. So, all the uploads going to be late. Sorry. Until we get it figured out. Maybe you set this up as a means of like a power play to get me now I'll start going to your house to do the show.
Everything
works fine from your house. We'll sit on the rocks.
Yeah, we could do it from like the pond or.
Yeah. This is, anyway. Well, we're here. I have no idea what we're going to do because I've just been on the phone. I've been opening ticket for about like an hour. Sorry about that, but I feel like. We opened a very serious ticket. He told me like engineers were going to be looking on it. I don't know what guys who drive trains have to do with the. I mean, it's a series of tubes, maybe it's a series of train tunnels. Maybe that's what the internet actually is. So we need some engineers who blow the horn and wear their funny little striped hat, and they'll get it figured out eventually. But for the user, I don't think you have a problem. I think everything's fine, right? So,
yeah, not, this is not something that should affect end users. It's affecting specifically, and weirdly, I don't know why, but
I'm lucky.
Yeah, I don't know what to talk about. I mean, we can talk about Joe Manchin's climate stunner.
Is that like his finishing?
Yeah, Alex and I just did hour one, actually.
Is that his finishing move? Is that like the Stone Cold Stunner? It's like the climate stunner.
Yeah.
What's Joe Manchin's climate stunner? I want to hear this.
I don't know. I think he just torpedoed another bill, like for
Oh, like this one was.
He did the thing. He basically shot another bill down. I think it was some environmental bullshit.
So this is a bill that likes makes AOC excited, but it would actually do too much to cripple American energy production industry.
Yeah,
Joe understands that it's like you want to have these high energy prices so that these big energy corporations can make a ton of obscene profits. You don't want to actually like stop them from like being able to work and making money. Like that goes too far. That's what this whole fucking shell game is. I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know why. I think I saw one of those like I did that like stickers or something on a price. I'm like, don't you want it? It's like, yeah, he did, but like you don't get it. It's like, and every environmentalist climate change retard that like bitches about it is like, when do these oil companies make the most money under demon rat administrations? That's when their prices like fucking go through the roof. That's when they start talking about doing more regulations and making it harder for people to, you know, heat their homes and drive around, and they start tutting, well, maybe you should purchase a hybrid vehicle, or you should do this, you should that, to mitigate these rising prices. Like, the rising prices are just rising profits for these corporations. And then, like, a Republican gets in, and unless you have with the exception of George W. Bush, prices plummet through the floor. They're not making any money. So it's like
prices were actually cheap for the most of George Bush's presidency too. Under
Bush, you had an actual like disaster in the refinery industry in this country, I believe. And also,
you mentioned AOC, so we got to do it.
I know what this is.
Okay.
And I'm so mad at you right now.
I thought it
was
funny. I enjoyed it.
I don't know what it is.
It's really stupid.
Is it something viral?
But it's still kind of funny.
Yes, it's viral. It's completely off topic.
My favorite.
It's a typical. It's a typical McNabb post.
Well, okay.
Well. I'm talking about. All right,
remember
hold
on. Our buddy Alex Steen?
I remember Alex Steen.
Oh yeah, Alex Stein. Yeah, the guy who Is he owning AOC?
Yeah.
AOC, my favorite big booty Latina. I love you, AOC. You're my favorite. She wants to kill babies, but she's still beautiful. You look very beautiful in that dress. You look very sexy. Look at that booty on AOC. That's my favorite big booty Latina. I love it. My favorite AOC. Nice to meet you, AOC. Look how sexy she looks in that dress. Woo, I love it, AOC.
This guy is so
Jewish.
Hot,
like
now, now that I see him, I'm like, wow, this guy is very Jewish.
Well, he's talked over, you talked over him. You talked over him. He said she's hot like a tamale. It's very racist. Oh, okay, it's over.
Yeah,
sorry.
If this dude was white, racist? He would be in a gulag.
Hold on. Why is that racist?
You're taking a spicy Latina and you're comparing her to like a spicy well, food stuff that
well
that,
that that's just
eat.
That's just you reaffirming a stereotype.
No, well, I know that's he's racist. Talking about yeah, he's using spicy Latina talk to actually talk about he's breaking a number of taboos.
Yes, several.
And he's doing it on purpose and he's grinning like a Jew when he's doing it. And he knows being a Jew, he can do it and you can't. Mm-hmm. And it fucking annoys me. I don't know if he knows that you can't, or I mean, maybe, but the reason he can is because he's Jewish. And so anyone else, this would be like he would have been like fucking body slammed by like a Secret Service agent or some shit.
Well, this is what's so funny is like, so she comes over and does the piece. It says, why don't you take a selfie? She tries to play this off on Twitter that she was actually running over there to like hit him, to like physically assault him, and that her like handlers or whoever like held her back. It's like, nah, you posed for a selfie, like shut the fuck up. Like she tried to do like the tough guy bitch stuff. Like, I was gonna whoop his ass, but they held me back.
Well, did she not hear what he was saying until his video came out and she just thought he was like a fan? I didn't hear what he was saying.
Isn't she a bartender in New York though? Shouldn't she be used to this kind of behavior?
Obviously, but not from a white presenting, not from someone who looks, you know,
can
white.
Get on Twitter. See, one of the things I feel bad about the technician that I was on the phone with, he like asked me to like clear all my browser cache, and I pretended to because my issue's not through the browser. So
yeah,
I'm
that's
just
not
like
the issue. So you say, yeah, I did that.
Oh yeah, it's still the same. Boy, I don't know what's going on. So I wouldn't have to like struggle to log into Twitter. Like, I wonder if I'll never find this thread now. I didn't save it. I just saw it and I had a chuckle. Because he was trying to play it off like, yeah, I was going to totally, boy, he's lucky. He's lucky that my security got in my way. And then there was like a whole thread about, why do men think they can, man? Like, pretending like this is some kind of rape threat. And I just like
that's a Jew, okay?
Yeah. I just like to drop into the thread, the girl's doing that. Like, it's like they just think they can dead, and we just have to take, it's like, it's almost like you need a bunch of men to protect you. You know, and then that just fries their little cat lady brains.
Yeah, but to me, I find the more interesting part about this is the public, is the Jew going out there and being publicly transgressive in, like, supposedly, like, oh, yeah, look, big booty Latina, oh, look at all this irreverent, edgy language I'm using to talk about somebody who's not white, I'm using stereotypes, and I'm just like, and of course there's people that are, like, loving it, right, and like, oh, it's great. But it's like, it's also, it means nothing.
The whole like AOC dog and pony show has just got to stop.
Right.
It's so stupid. Right. How long have they been running that one?
Oh,
it's been going on for what, 2 or 3 years?
Since 2018 when she was elected. Right?
Shit, 4 years.
There you go. Excuse me, it is not a booty dress.
Who even gives a fuck?
It's a she dress, frankly. Obviously. I do not want to date you, Shoe on Head. What? What does Shoe on Head have to do with it? That's just weird. It's a good meme, though. My favorite big booty Latina.
I thought when Alex Stein
but
did
just,
the
you
rap,
know, but
when
I
he was
seriously,
talking
though,
about,
like, to try to get back where the topic I was talking about, I'd love to ask her, like, how come when you guys are in power, these energy companies make so much goddamn money? What's the deal? What's the deal with energy prices and energy billionaires just cleaning up whenever you're in power? I thought, like, according to the lore, according to how American retail politics works in the two-party system, it's like you're the enemy of big energy, and the Republicans are supposed to enable their making of billions of dollars and raping the earth and raping people, working people, the middle class being hollowed out by these energy CEOs. Blah blah. It's like, how come they endure such low prices and everything's at a discount? When the other parties, like, shouldn't it be the other way around? shouldn't Republicans be like allowing them to like be unregulated and just charge as much as they want, and you little peasants just have to pay? You have to pay your fair share for the demand. It should be Republicans that are like, well, if you don't like the price of energy, use less so that it goes down. We're the supply and demand bros over here. And it's like it's completely inverted when it comes to the subject of energy. It's like the Democrats be like, use less of it. The problem is we have a demand based problem here, and it's just like, no, we fucking don't. We have a Jew based problem. We have a Jewish finance based problem. We have a foreign
policy.
I'll
also ask her. I'll be like, AOC, why did you abstain from Iron Dome funding instead of voting against it? What kind of pressures? And I wouldn't even be hostile. I'd be like, well, can you just tell me, like, privately, you could tell me, like, what kind of pressures were you subjected to? Like, who was calling your office and bitching in your ear about that?
The
right?
pressures of, like, those extremely
like, why clothing? When there's literally actually, you know, in theory, the other funny thing is, it's like, well, who got AOC elected? Well, it wasn't Latinas. It wasn't Latinx people. Because she was elected in a part of Queens, I believe, that is heavily gentrified. So it was actually gentrifying hipsters that elected her and that ran her campaign and that were going all out for her. And she actually didn't get that many votes. She got like a few thousand votes to be in Congress and have the position that she's got. So, and it was purely like the gentrifying. She wouldn't have won if her district was still like Puerto Rican. The fucking Irish guy would have won. Cause that's who the Puerto Ricans were voting for. Was like the Irish guy that had been congressman there for like 30 years. Yeah. And then it was like, funny enough, like gentrifying white hipsters that voted for her. Anyway, so I would be like, so what's, you know, anyway, but it's also like AOC is just such a dead fucking meme. It's like, who even cares? Like, this broad is not even going to be a thing anymore. The whole squad thing is done because they're going to get rid of the other two. And then she's just going to be a standard, like, she's going to be a standard liberal. She'll probably be there for a long ass time, but she's just going to
only way she can make any waves is when someone does something, when she can pretend that what's going on is because she's a woman or something. Like, she's like pretending. She's pretending this is some kind of like stalking, like sexist, like rape type thing going on. It's like, no, this guy's accosting you because you're a controversial political figure that people don't
like.
Why don't you
also say like the truth, which is that like this guy got away with accosting me in public because he's Jewish.
Is he Jewish though? I don't even know.
Alex Stein, yeah.
It may not be.
Dude, that guy it's pretty much confirmed. It's the same guy that did like that rap in front of that. If that guy's not Jewish, I'll be quite surprised.
Oh, was that the rapper guy?
Yeah.
Oh. Does he work for Breitbart or just Breitbart likes this?
No, but he's like they love, he's like a favorite new up and coming conservative like edgy guy. Yeah. I mean, was it Alex? If that was Alex Stein.
So calling somebody like your favorite big booty Latina is, I guess that's an improvement from what the kind of discourse they usually do. But I don't know.
Don't you see how it works? Like it's like he's doing the I can be edgy because I'm Jewish thing. He's not doing that like upfront, like telling you, but he's the one. As usual, it's like the guy out there doing the sort of pseudo transgressive bullshit.
I see it as like
a Jew.
I see it as like I can do nothing of substance because I'm a conservative. Like that's the first thing that sticks out.
Right.
Like that's the main thing. And he can do this sort of the big booty Latina. It's like it is pretty funny that obviously the only reason he can call her a big booty Latina and get away with it is the fact that he's probably Jewish, but you know. Again, it's also just like who's winning here? If anything, AOC's winning here because once again, like she gets to have like a headline, she gets to do a little victory dance, she gets to have a cat lady Steve thread.
She's got people talking about her booty, which I think was the entire point. I mean, she was dressed in a pretty skin tight outfit there.
Well, she always
I mean,
is.
Did you not want people talking about your booty? Because if you don't want them talking about your booty, don't wear that.
Yeah,
same.
I was like, this is what she characterized it. I posted about a deeply disgusting incident that happened today in the Capitol steps.
Oh, shut up, deeply.
But just, took
as
it
as if anyone is clutching their pearls over that.
But I took it down because it's clearly someone seeking extremist fame. It's just a bummer to work in an institution that openly allowed this, but talking about it only invites more. Just really sad. It's like, well, there's a kitchen you could be in somewhere. Like, this is also just the whammy thing. It's like, I don't know.
You could be making tamales somewhere.
You could be making tamales. I love tamales. You know what I don't love? Latinx, misthinks, women's running my, having a hand in running my country. You know?
But yet again, so she's worked up about this kind of stuff, but not things like the climate or Israel, any of these other issues. The problem is getting,
yeah, here she goes,
catcalled whenever you're on your way into Congress or something.
Maybe don't go to Congress.
Yeah, he's totally Jewish, dude.
But it says here, here's a video he posted of the incident. I was actually walking over to deck him, because if no one will protect this, then I'll do it myself. But I needed to catch a vote more than to catch a case today. You were not going over to deck him. And if you were going over to deck him, that means you can handle yourself. So what are you complaining about? Hecklers beware. She's going to deck you.
Oh, so Stein, I'm like less interested in her. Stein did a, they found this article Jewish from Jewish Journal, February 3rd, 2022. Meet Alex Stein, professional troll. A man in scrubs walks up to a microphone at a city council meeting in Dallas in front of over a dozen council members, starts to give a spiel about why it's important to vaccinate children. He figured it's a way to make vaccination more hip and cool to the younger generation of freestyle rap. But as usual, like, he does the thing where he goes way over the top to the point where it's like, people are like, wait, what? And he's actually, oh, he's trolling the pro-vaccine people.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. He's ironic. And then in later on in this article, he talks about how, like, oh, yeah, I'm Jewish, but I wasn't bar mitzvahed. I would love to have had a cool Jewish bar mitzvah and blah, blah, blah. But his goal is to get a talk show on a primetime network.
Oh,
I'm sure he'll succeed in that goal.
He sort of looks like Tucker.
So he thinks he's Andy Kaufman. That seems to be his bit.
Yeah.
Well, he was trying to wrestle women.
Yeah.
Like, I will wrestle any female congresswoman that's willing to get in the ring.
He should have challenged her to the wrestling match.
He just put out the blank. Again, any female congresswoman.
He just body slammed her.
Then he could wrestle like that. He could wrestle like that purple-haired old lady. That'd be awesome too. I forget what's. Is she from Connecticut? That bitch, the Skeksis. Look, she actually looks like the Skeksis. Like literally,
that girl literally genetically looks like she was born in the Dark Crystal universe.
She looks like a man.
He looked like a man.
So this guy's saying he started his career because he was genuinely concerned that a public restroom was closed down during COVID. Like, this was like his, I'm like, I'm sure, dude.
It was the sure, like, straw.
Yeah, I'm sure you were genuinely concerned. He said, and this is probably a troll. He's probably trolling even the Jewish Journal here. He says, like, I'd go to the park to exercise and see another runner use the restroom to change out his colostomy bag. When the lockdowns happened, the city closed down the public restrooms and this guy couldn't use it. See, that's a fucking troll. That's a fucking troll. Like, because of COVID, this runner can no longer change his colostomy bag in the public restroom. He's trolling you. You realize that you got trolled when you repeat this. As if it's like, this is a serious thing. This guy is, like, deeply concerned about it. Like, oh, my fucking God.
Oh, my God.
You know what really the last straw for me was? When Eric Stryker could no longer change his colostomy bag in a public restroom in Dallas.
Oh, my God.
The handicapped in our country need places to change their colostomy bag, and they need public garbage bins in which to throw their waste materials.
So,
and without this, Rosa, you know, I don't...
What's the name?
What's that?
Rosa DeLauro is the person that...
Oh, the purple-haired... Yeah. The purple-haired Congress lady from Connecticut, I believe it's...
I forgot. I wrote an article called Caligula's Horse Farm, and I've got her in there... And I've got Lori Lightfoot and Rachel Levine.
I'm going to strangle my children.
It's like...
The fucking stomping coming from upstairs is driving me nuts.
That's my house every day.
If you want to run, go the fuck outside.
Rosa DeLauro, her... Hold on, let me see something.
Just looking at... On Twitter, it's...
She's married to a Jew.
She's married to Stan Greenberg.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was a passing reference. I brought her up. Twitter has trending. He's a POS, and it's mostly Manchin that they're talking about.
Actually,
here. That's pretty. So we got to look at this mansion thing. That's pretty funny.
Lori Lightfoot is also married to a Jew.
But it's a woman, right?
Yep. It's a little trend here. And of course, Rachel Levine is a Jew.
Yeah. Obviously.
Lots of Jewish connections here.
Yeah, you mean Richard? Rachel or Richard? Rachel Levine? Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. It's like the people that are this close to power are either like Jewish or they're all like one degree of separation, if not less. Yeah, I think the Joe Manchin thing, it's not even a thing. It's just today's fucking political headline. It doesn't matter. It's just another thing that would have changed something. And so he made it not change. So here are like people that are in, it's the same thing. Like, you know, as we always say, you know, we don't pay as much attention to it, but Democrats get Finkel-thinked too, right? Like this idea applies to them too. Like dumb shit is floated to keep them interested. Things they think they want, things they've been convinced that they want, you know, like conservatives want the Georgia Guidestones blown up. Democrats want like some kind of climate change bill passed. Neither one, you know, the difference is one of these things makes a material difference and the other doesn't. So Joe Manchin didn't need to shoot the Georgia Guidestones. He does need to shoot down whatever climate bill was.
Man.
So
I was rereading my article real fast. And this is before we had the other Congress critter that was like twerking upside down. Things have gotten so much worse, so much faster.
Is that person in Congress, or are they just running for
Congress? She's a state senator in Rhode Island.
State senator. There
running for national office, though.
Probably will win.
I think looking to make the jump, I believe.
Well, the reason you know about that is because Jewish media put that into the ecosystem to get you used to the idea of this person being around. So, yeah. I think one of the things Jews are doing here, and this is maybe getting into a little bit more serious, I think one of the things Jews are doing is trying to construct, like, I don't even think so. They're obviously doing it. They want to construct, like, a new, more directly Jewish-controlled squad, right? Because when they had, you know, the squad came up, and there was, like, they rode this wave of, like, anti-Trumpism and the blue wave and all this crap, right? And they got elected, and of course, it's like, oh, yeah, were these four, was it four of them? Like, four powerful women of color. Two of them ended up being anti-Semitic, like Rashida Tlaib and, what's the other broad, Ilhan Omar. There's, like, another one in there, but I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was just the three of them. Anyway, those two were unacceptable to hardcore Zionism. And AOC was, like, barely acceptable to them, but she's, like, accommodated herself to them. And she'll probably not step out of line again after shedding tears over, like, abstaining from the Iron Dome funding vote. But so I think that they want those other two out. One's Palestinian. The other one won't stop talking about Israel and show me the money and all this crap. So they want to get those two out, and they want to construct a squad, like a cool, hip, women's of color Democratic group. But
yeah,
they're just totally Zionist. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to do. They can do that.
They got Richie Torres on there, I think. Is Richie Torres actually, is he New York City only, or is he in actual Congress now? Anyway, he's like a gay Latinx that's like, for whatever reason, super pro-Israel. Because, you know, growing up as a faggot Puerto Rican in fucking Queens, you know, this guy obviously developed a great love for the Jewish state. Was he from like the Bronx or Queens or something? There's a gay Puerto Rican.
Oh, I remember
from the
him.
Bronx.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've always been inspired by Israel. It's like, what? But I guess that sort of makes sense, really. The gay thing, sure. So yeah, but again, it's not hard to do because they just have to find somebody willing to be a shill, and that's, you know, Jews are always they are always able to do that.
So I want to look at the mansion thing because it's always fascinating to look at how these stories are reported. I'm reading on CNN Politics. Manchin torpedoes. He's not using the rifle this time.
Oh,
he's got a torpedo.
Wow, he's up the caliber of
soon.
This.
Maybe he'll get like a howitzer, or maybe what are those like GPS guided like artillery shells we're giving to Ukraine? Maybe he'll use
get
one
like
of those.
Can he get like a switchblade drone? Ooh. Can he switchblade drone one of these bills?
I think we sold all those because we don't like them. Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, we gave those all to Ukraine.
Yeah, right? These don't really work too well. Let's send them to Ukraine.
Well, it's land war, so they don't need torpedoes. Yeah. That's why we have them here.
Right.
So Joe Manchin has the torpedoes.
So he torpedoes Democrats' hopes for passing a sweeping climate action and tax hikes. Now, what kills me is I read through this thing, and again, there's nothing in here that's any sort of detail. Like, I don't
about
know
what it is. Yeah, I know.
Like, right? I don't know what was proposed. I don't know what he doesn't like. We don't know his reasons. We just have people saying sad and angry things, and him saying like things that are like, I can't support, and him citing like broad issues that aren't going to be solved anytime soon by anybody. Like, his reasoning for, like, he's not saying, there's no quote in here that I'm protecting like the energy industry interests of my home state or the workforce there that work. Like, he's not, you know, he's not standing up for that or anything. He's just kind of doing this. He's doing what Republicans usually do, where he's got like a weird autistic mealy mouth reason to oppose it that doesn't really, that basically suggests that if conditions change only slightly, my vote will change. What does he say? Political headline. Manchin's office pointed to rising inflation. Political headlines are of no value to the millions of Americans struggling to afford groceries and gas as inflation soars to 9.1%. That's what this is through a spokesperson, Sam Munyon. Senator Manchin believes it's time for leaders to put political agendas aside, reevaluate, and adjust to the economic realities the country faces to avoid taking steps that would add fuel to the inflation fire. And then we go on to talk about it. Data released Wednesday showed inflation surged to a new pandemic-era peak in June, with U.S. consumer prices jumping by 9.1% year-over-year, the highest level in more than 40 years, right? So then that's the reasoning from his office, is like reciting inflation. It's like, okay. And then you just go to Jamal Rod, Evergreen Action. Aren't those the people that got that boat stuck in the Suez Canal? Those Evergreens? Can you, like, why don't you have other...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that shit. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's a different Evergreen company, but that's still funny to throw that in there. Aren't you the people that get boats stuck everywhere? Can't you get your boat unstuck before you talk about Joe Manchin like that?
One of the funny things that always would drive me crazy before I just realized it's always going to be like this and you just can't worry about it, is that these articles report on these bills without giving you like details of the provisions as if like the purported goal of the bill will be achieved if it were passed.
Yeah, the climate is now destroyed.
Like, Joe Manchin just shut the door on the climate. It's like, yeah. No, it's like some fucking tax scheme that you guys cooked up that doesn't really matter. Like,
we don't know the details.
I was thinking of Evergrande, which is the Chinese company. Evergrande. It's like over leveraged itself on like, real estate or something.
Like somehow they always keep getting out of it.
Like Evergrande Booty Latina.
Yeah, Evergrande Tamale.
So Evergreen Action co-founder Jamal Rod, R-A-A-D, told CNN that Manchin's argument about not spending more to avoid worsening inflation missed the mark when it came to the energy and climate. It's like, okay, he's not even about solving inflation, because the major driver of inflation was gas prices, and he decided we should invest more in fossil fuels. It's like,
this Jamal Rod guy looks like he's fucking white.
It's like, is there ever been a more like meaningless sentence than that? And this passes for this is discourse about what should be done about the end. I mean,
yeah. So there's basically the other thing about a lot of this shit is it's like, you know, he's okay. So they're going to subsidize like electric cars and shit like that. That seems to be in here. I don't know. I mean, I don't care one way or the other about this bill. I don't think were it passed or not passed, it would have actually changed very much. If anything, Joe Manchin might have been like more correct than them by saying like we can't actually just make inflation worse right now. If we're going to effectively reduce supply of fossil fuel, then that's going to make inflation worse. So.
Yeah, but he's not talking about like maybe we shouldn't have sanctions on like these large energy producers.
No one's talking about that.
Maybe we shouldn't be at the same time restricting,
which is sort of funny. It kind of shows you like, okay, so it really shows you what a circus it is, because what a dog and pony show is. He's like, okay, you get to have your liberal versus Democrat. Conservative versus Democrat show over these issues that are like kind of marginal around the issue of inflation and fuel and gas. But then this huge major thing, it's just total bipartisan support on it, right?
Right.
So whatever this bill was, it would have been marginal relative to the idea of like no more sanctions on big countries that produce natural gas and oil as like what their main exports, like Russia and Iran, right?
Right.
that would actually significantly impact fuel prices worldwide.
It gives you a nice convincing argument that there's debate, man. See, they're debating some of this
stuff.
There's like political friction here over things that don't matter.
Yeah, or only marginally matter, right? You know, so yeah. And I love it, like someone says, like, it's odd that he'd have like the destruction of the world as his legacy. It's like,
what?
Where he says, okay, here's John Podesta. Oh, our favorite spirit cooking child molester. It seems odd that Manchin would choose as his legacy to be the one man who single handedly doomed humanity. I'm like, I thought you wanted to be that when you did the satanic rituals.
Yeah, what does his brother have to say?
Yeah.
The stocky one.
Why does this guy still get to have an opinion?
John Podesta? Yeah, he should just be gone.
Well, the bigger question is, like, how long has Inconvenient Truth been available? Like, you can go watch
14 years.
Inconvenient Truth, it's like watching Predator 2. Like, that was 1997.
That movie is fucking funny.
Like, that was 1997 Los Angeles. It's like, or Back to the Future 2 that takes place in 2015. Like, Inconvenient Truth suffers from the same problem. Like, we've caught up to, like, Al Gore's future where we were all underwater, and it has not, like, moved an inch in towards
it's
what
actually
he was
like.
Yeah, but now, wait a second. Predator 2 was realistic, though. I mean, that came true.
We should have Inconvenient Truth 2 with, like, Danny Glover in it.
Yeah, Danny Glover, he's on the New York City subway system, and he's got monkeypox, and he doesn't know why.
I think that actually happened.
Yeah.
But
it's just so funny, because, like, you can watch, he's got these, like, CGI, he's got these, like, topographical evidence of maps where he's got these, like, these land masses just overtaken by flooding.
I remember being like, I remember.
And he's basically saying that we've got 10 years to solve this. Like, well, that was 20 years ago. Like, where are we now? Nothing.
It was quite 20, but it was more than 10.
It was like 2001. Wasn't that film from like 2001? Maybe I'll look it up.
Look it up. I think it was later than that. I think I'm thinking like 2008 around, but I could be wrong. Maybe 2005.
I feel like they did like re-releases and weird shit with this. Okay, 2006. All right. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay. So, but still, almost close. It's like 16 years ago now.
Yeah.
So I remember watching it, and I used to watch it with my friends like for fun because it was so funny. Because it's not really funny, but it was fun when I was a big like anti-global warming libertarian watching my friends and joke around about it.
Yeah.
And it is really bad. And that movie actually kind of was what started me down the path of like empiricism.
Ooh.
Because, you know, and it sounds like kind of, this is when I began my journey down the road of empiricism.
What's
like,
this NRX
I remember
shit?
Looking at these at these maps and being like, I was like enraged that people accept statements from authority like this that just have nothing behind them other than the assertion itself.
Right.
Like, because maybe there's more skepticism now. The way I viewed it then, and I think I was accurate, was like people would see projections and just assume that this was correct. Like, they believe that, like, the people doing this stuff can, like, actually just tell the future. Like, and people just say, oh, you know, they say the water level's going to be up 2 inches in 10 years. And now, you know, there was a time when I was younger, when I was still, like, in middle school, where I would have just, like, accepted this statement from authority because I believed that adults knew what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'd be like, yeah, but wait a second. How do they know that?
Yeah.
You can't predict the future. You don't know. You don't actually fucking know.
And so
this would be how I would troll. And I would go out and I would like troll people in New York City. I would like troll people on this stuff. Like, I would get into conversations with people like at bars and parties about it. And I would be like, well, you really don't know that.
Right.
And this was like a favorite way. One of my favorite things to do.
I believe is this not the Socratic method? First, I must assume I know nothing.
Right. Yeah, well, that's the Socratic method is all about like getting people to admit that they're full of shit and they don't know anything.
I'm writing down.
Once you get that, it's like not hard after that.
I'm writing down Enocrates in the notes here. Enocrates.
Enocrates
admits he knows nothing.
Because people just make these
and then
statements.
Ask you,
yeah, don't you know nothing? In 20 years, it's gonna be Miami Beach is gonna be underwater. I was like, yeah, but you don't know that.
Oh, hearing this,
I'm saying this. I mean, I would like if only
it could be there's a general trend towards something, but. It's not necessarily true that general trend is going to plot into a very nice graph where it just goes up incrementally by X percentage every year.
Yeah,
there's no reason for it to do that. It could be that it goes very slowly and then very fast. Who knows?
Could be that it goes backwards.
Could even go backwards.
Also, projections based on – like it's also like the projections get more accurate the longer the time frame, right? So if you've got like how long you got? You got like 50 years and you're saying, so we know what's going to happen in 20? Yeah, no, you don't. And once you go longer, once you go on a longer time frame back than that, you actually realize, oh, we don't have any idea what's going to happen because we now don't have a pattern that we can. Now the pattern just doesn't exist anymore because the time frame is too big, so we can't make predictions on this.
Well, I think this sort of, it's politicized, of course, but climate science or whatever, it has the same problem that like the Misesians do, like the Austrian economists have with their models. It's like you just cannot account for all the moving parts that you're trying to make a prediction with, like,
right.
So,
well, the innovation. Yeah,
see, if you're an Austrian economist, it's just a priori, correct?
Right. That's the innovation of that of theirs was that they don't have any reliance on anything empirical. It's purely logical, deductive. They don't need any evidence. And if there's counter evidence, that can always be attributed to some confounding factor that they just haven't figured out.
Well,
yet.
The similarity between the two is like the climate people say, if we like increase input of carbon dioxide into the system, all this terrible stuff is going to happen. If we can stop that, this stuff will be avoided. Like an Austrian economist would make the same kind of statements with like if we added more utils, if we added a different like metal to our basket of non-fiat currencies, or if this many people died and there was this much less demand, like they sort of do this like if then, and it's always very like direct, and it's like it never works out that way.
Well, for them, the big problem input is government investment. They're like, if we can stop government misdirection of resources, then everything works out. If things don't work out, well, then there must be some government misdirection of resource happening. So. Therefore, boom, no matter what, I'm still right. I mean, it's actually like really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that drives me nuts about seeing people argue about things on the internet, too, is they will do something where it's a deductive idea that makes sense in their head, but they don't actually bother to check and see if this is how things actually work in the real world.
Well, they don't even bother.
Sounds good to me.
Even if it's not deductive, they do this with just factual claims. Like, what was it, that Elon Musk got banned from Twitter? Oh, that takes 2 seconds to check. No, he didn't. Oh, okay. But I just like it. So
he just posted a silly meme before.
I just like this. I just like it. I would like this to be true. So I'm just gonna repost it.
Yeah, he posted.
Yeah, that's.
He posted Elon Musk just posted a picture of like a Formica countertop, and he was like, "Nice try, NASA." And he was like making fun of those telescope pictures or whatever that NASA has been posting. They have some new telescope. Have you not seen the?
I occasionally look at the going around.
I think a telescope. I don't know a damn thing about it.
Hey, you know, it's going around. It's in orbit. It's above the Earth, which is round.
All I know is NASA's no longer sending humans into space. What happened there?
We're going to send Elon.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. That's the joke.
That's kind of funny, but it's also like he's appealing to retards.
Speaking of sending human beings into space, like niggers out there, everybody, audience. Every one of you that's even close to our age, the Beavis and Butthead movie is so good. It's really fun.
I gotta go watch that.
It is really good. And the premise is it starts off, they send them to space. It's fucking great. It's so funny. I mean, it's just like, it was like a breath of fresh. It's like, I remember what this is like, and it's not shitty. And then the white privilege scene was fucking brilliant.
That's like some of the most funny and actually subversive comedy I've seen in a long time. That shit was fucking funny.
We're subverting existing paradigms. Like, high IQ Beavis is the funniest gag.
We just assume that we can take whatever we want with no consequences.
That's just the way we were educated. My daughter says...
It's not our fault.
My daughter says, why are you watching Buttface and Douchebag? I'm like, you're not allowed to say douchebag, but that was fucking hilarious. Don't say that ever again.
Yeah. I'd be like, because it's funny.
Yeah.
Why are
and
you
more wholesome than
Buttface and Douchebag?
I was like, you mean my show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend that.
I'm actually gonna go ahead and watch that. Probably.
Yeah.
Today,
no, it's good.
Tonight.
It's good. I've still got 20 minutes of it left, but it's been a laugh riot the whole time.
I don't know. I mean. Yeah. It's just funny. Yeah, I think this issue, though, of like actually empirical data, it really trips up. You know, it's not only one group that gets tripped up by this. Like everybody.
Well, you can go the other way, too. You can just use empirical data and fall in all kinds of inductive fallacies. That's the other problem.
Well, yeah. Well, like one
of
them would
be. You kind of need both.
Right. Well, one of the inductive fallacies is like this idea of projections, right? Like, well, we've got this data, it's doing this, so it's going to keep doing it. Right. I don't know that, right? Yep. And you need to intuitively understand that you don't necessarily know that that's going to happen. There's no rule that it necessarily won't.
Yep.
I love Twitter, guys.
Medicine all the time, too.
New Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power teaser shows Galadriel's terrifying vision. Is the terrifying vision like all the niggers in the cast?
It's just black.
It's just black.
It's like I've already had a terrifying vision. And then there's
always the meme of like, since the new Lord of the Rings is like a prequel, the Lord of the Rings is actually like the like based white supremacists because they got like by the time the actual the race story happens, they got rid of all the niggers. Somewhere along the line, all those blacks, they got rid of them. So it's just,
And I don't know if you remember Marty Phillips, the writer of Look West in the Marty Plays the Sims video series. He's got a tweet here that's like, ouch. I don't know, I was just randomly scrolling. Conservatives and the right are like the serial killer's victim dying on the table in the murder dungeon, seeing the frenzied lunatic bloodlust in the killer's eyes and saying, wow, I must be winning. He's panicking. Marty Doomer.
That's good.
That's him. That's pretty funny.
That reminds me of the disclosed TV thing I saw the other day. I have to find it, but it's along the same lines.
Oh, this is actually one thing I want to talk about conservatives actually being wrong about stuff. Oh,
I found it.
This might rustle some butts. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
So this guy, Ray Epps. You heard about this guy?
I know that guy, yeah.
So Ray Epps is this dude that they were saying was a Fed.
He was egging everybody on at January 6th, right?
Yeah. But then he never got arrested or anything like this. And now they even Ted Cruz like asked about this guy in some session of Congress to the FBI or something. And the FBI is maintaining like, no, he doesn't work for us. He's not one of us, and they've got like affidavits to swearing to this effect and whatnot. And the guy himself has said like definitely he's not, and you know all these they're all saying like he never went to be questioned. That's not true. Like he was questioned. There's also video of him actually not egging people on and telling people to calm down and like not attack police. So there's both types of video, and people were like, well, why wasn't he charged? And he was doing this, that, and the other. And the reason he wasn't charged is because like apparently he actually didn't enter the Capitol. Not that I think that any of these people should be charged, don't get me wrong.
Well, that's the line that they've drawn in this thing. If you went inside the building, you're fucked. If you stayed outside,
they're not. And so,
if you stayed outside, they're trying to find a way to say you were inside. There's some people that do try to do that too. But
yeah, but the funny thing is, because Ray Epps became kind of the center of the focal point of this conspiracy theory that was going in like Groyper circles and like Trump-tard circles, they're now writing like sympathetic stuff about
I have one up here in New York Times. A Trump backer's downfall as the target of a January 6th conspiracy theory. Ray Epps became the unwitting face of an attempt by pro-Trump forces to promote the baseless idea that the FBI was behind the attack on the Capitol. Well, it was like there's the Pentagon and everybody. So,
right. And so the thing is, I actually don't think that, because again, the thing is, of course, conservatives are just going to like get everything wrong. Right. And there's actually far better candidates for people who were Fed instigators who were inside the building, like that black guy who was also at BLM riots and who was right there when Ashley Babbitt was shot. But that got fucking dropped.
Right.
Totally. They don't even talk about that anymore. And they go after this Epps character. And I'm just like, it's like, of course, like this guy probably isn't a Fed. He's probably just like a dumbass conservative who just got ahead of himself and was like yelling, let's go over to the Capitol. And then the next day when the protest was going on, he just didn't do it. He didn't go in. He was actually, there's actually video of him saying to people, hey, everybody relax. Let's not fight, please. I'm not defending that behavior or not. And I'm not condemning people that did go into the Capitol. I'm just saying like,
it's funny that like, this is the only January 6th rioter insurrectionist that the New York Times like stick up for. It's really funny.
You know, I'll tell you why I think they're sticking up for him.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to use him in libel lawsuits against all these people.
Hmm.
I think that all these people that went out there, all the way going up to Tucker Carlson, who did a segment on it on Fox News, I think that Jew lawyers are swarming around this guy telling him you because he had to like sell his business and sell his house and like move to a trailer in the middle of nowhere or something like that to stay safe from all the people angry at him because of this conspiracy theory about him. I'm telling you, Jew lawyers are swarming this guy, and they are going to use him, and there's going to be a libel lawsuit.
Well, also,
and the people that said this are going to fucking have to pay a ton of money, and that's why they're being sympathetic to him.
And all of this is also going to, like, it just poo-poos the entire idea of a federal plot, which is what happened.
There you go.
The January 6th insurrection is a federal gay op, and this throws cold water all over. Because every time you mention it, it's like, oh, you mean like Ray Epps? I'm like, no, I don't mean Ray Epps. I mean, what the fuck was the guy's name that ended up being Q? And I mean all the stuff the Jazz Hands and James back.
Yeah, no, there's ample evidence of
also just
stuff
the
going around.
Just the circumstances themselves.
Yeah,
it's like give me a fucking break.
But the other funny thing is that the January 6th hearings are not uncovering any of this. Instead, what they're doing is they're like telling lies about Trump, like demanding to go to the Capitol and like choking out a Secret Service agent or something, which is obviously bullshit.
Indict him, then. Right? Indict him.
Well, I think the issue here.
Sorry.
I think the issue here is that Trump will or will not get an indictment depending whether he runs and plays spoiler to Ron DeSantis in 2024. That's my opinion. And I think if he doesn't, he's fine. If he just kind of stays out of it, he'll be fine. But they want DeSantis. That's right. The guy. I think DeSantis will be our president. Anyway,
the internet's calling. I'm going to take the call. It's the ticket. I'll be right back.
All right. Well, Alex and I can continue to bullshit along these lines, I suppose. But yes, I think this is the problem that this illustrates for me, though, is when conservatives don't think about things and they run with dumb shit, it will always end up backfiring on them. Because it probably is fun and feels good to be like, oh, we got a Fed here. Look at this guy behaving erratically. That's definitely a Fed. And you're not sure. And then everyone goes out and says it. And now
I don't think that they fundamentally understand how political groups are supposed to work, how organizations are supposed to work, how any of this works. I think it's basically just a herd of these retarded individuals.
Yeah. And the main thing here is like, is this fun? Do I like this? Like, is this something I like? Do I want to believe this?
That's one of the reasons they're so confused by organizations like Patriot Front, is just the fact that Patriot Front is organized baffles them.
Yes.
And they can't conceive of being organized outside of a government.
Well, organization itself is suspicious.
Yeah.
Right? Like, organization coordination itself is suspicious to them. Because they're like, because supposedly, according to this idea, real Americans don't do that. Now, I would actually say, you know, you could like trollishly double down on that and be like, yes, you're right. Real Americans are disorganized shitheads. Yes, you're right. Like, that's a real American, right?
It's like, did your ancestors have to organize to build this country? Seems like they did. Seems like they had to overthrow the British. And I'm pretty sure they didn't do that by just being a bunch of random retards who came together.
Actually, that's, I think, riot. The one instance where they maybe that did work. Was just, no, I'm joking.
They had an army, though. They created an army.
Yes, they did.
These people don't have an army.
Well, yeah, well, you can't have an army. I mean, fundamentally, an attempt to create one would fall apart because the first person that was a little bit too organized would have all kinds of suspicion cast on them. And this is also something that's been done to people. I mean, I don't believe this is necessarily like the natural state of thinking of white people or even conservative people. I think this is something that has been done over years of, you know, learned helplessness, disempoweredness, disenfranchisement, total lack of access to institutions, power, any ability to change things in a meaningful way. When you've had a generation of people who have been completely cut off from being able to change the system in any meaningful way, their ideas about how you would even do so become completely distorted and, in fact, are basically controlled by memes, like things they see on TV or in movies or, you know what I mean, or just emotional propaganda or whatever. And, of course, movies present, like, if you watch, like, Mel Gibson's The Patriot, a lot of people really like that movie. Where is, like, the difficult part? And I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Braveheart's kind of another one. Like, where is the hard part of raising the army and raising this military to go? And I'm not knocking those movies because they're movies that have to be fun and enjoyable. But in reality, you know, some kind of revolutionary army raising it would be a very difficult task and almost insurmountable challenge. And so, you know, the idea of how you do that, it's like, oh, yeah, then it's like the magic just happens and it happens. I mean, right wingers love to think in terms of like when finally magic happens, system collapses, then magic happens. Yeah. We're in charge. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, yeah. I
haven't seen that movie in a while. I can't remember if they went through the whole like coalition building or any of this.
I don't know. I've never seen The Patriot. I did see Braveheart, and there was some like coalition building, but it was pretty magical. But it's still a fun movie. It's a movie, though. Who cares? My favorite part of Braveheart is actually a part where you can't. And I've tried to find a video of this part, and it's like almost impossible. I'll probably have to like clip it myself to get the video. It's not the freedom speech, which is actually a little bit overwrought and played out, in my opinion. Although some people still like it. That's fine. It's the part where he's talking to that guy. Mel Gibson's talking to that guy. And he's trying to convince him to at least try fighting the British. And he's like, because you know what's going to happen if we don't try. And the guy's like, why? What's going to happen? He's like, nothing. Nothing. And that's actually my favorite part of Braveheart. That's the best moment, in my opinion. But yeah.
Yeah. I got a little distracted here. There's a railroad strike that is potentially going to be happening. A massive railroad strike.
I didn't think anybody worked for the railroad anymore.
Well, that's the problem, is they've been slashing jobs. They've been cutting their labor force, which, of course, means that their service has not been functioning as well. And the workers you do have are basically having to pull much overtime and shit.
Right. Well, which so railroad? Because...
Well, that's what seems kind of interesting, is if one or two of them go, then effectively all of them go. And this has happened before. Like, a strike by one turns into a strike by all of them.
Well, because the way the rail system works is if any node is shut down, like you can't go, right?
Yeah, so if it's Pacific, Berkshire, right. NSF, yeah, those are big ones.
Really? Union Pacific is still a thing? So these are, I'm assuming most of this is like freight, because freight is most rail traffic.
Well, that's all it is. Yeah, it's freight.
Yeah. It's passenger freight. Rail is Amtrak, and that's almost dead. Although it uses the same rail lines, and many of them, at least on the East Coast, are maintained by Amtrak. But if you ever take Amtrak, there's this, you'll get this issue where like you're just going slow as fuck.
So
and it's like because there's this freight in front of you.
But, they've slashed 30% of their workforce over the last 6 years. Which is making the service poor. And of course, anytime they do that, then the people you do have working just get fucked.
Right. I mean, and the thing is, it's like, why did it have to be like this? Like, what? Because the question is like, oh, maybe it's just not profitable. Well, why would that be? This is another thing. This is another issue for people to think about. Like, because you're often presented with these things as if like, well, railroad is just not profitable anymore. Well, why not? Right. Yeah. And how did railroad get started? Okay.
Is it not profitable because you went and took a bunch of government money and poured it into the highway projects, which were, of course, right. a result
That's
of pressure from automotive corporations?
The reason
like,
why it is. But the funny thing is that, in terms
I
of this,
love that. It's not profitable because we decided via public policy being influenced by private
right.
corporations.
No, this is the thing. It's like because you could get someone who would like with a straight face tell you, well, yeah, rail is kind of going out. It's not the money's not there anymore. And no one's really doing it. And it's like, yeah. So we decided for whatever reason, the market decided on a much more fuel intensive and inefficient highway system where stuff has instead of. Large amount of stuff being carried on a track. We're going to carry relatively smaller amounts of stuff in individual vehicles, long ways on the very, very expensive, more expensive than railroad tracks to maintain highways.
Yep.
Again, like this is a choice that was made, and it was made by the government, and the government directed investment in this way. And then private corporations, contractors and such came in to use the investment money provided by the state and build these things. And there's actually the thing is now a purist capitalist, like a conservative purist capitalist, would be, well, the government should all be like privately financed or something like that. But that's just stupid. And there's no inherent reason why that should be either. Like, they've tried to derive one through some logic of non-aggression, of stealing people's money or something. Who fucking cares, right? But I would also say, like, that, in fact, there's nothing wrong with the state, the public policy saying, this is going to be a national project. We are going to put money into it. And yes, now private companies and contractors can come, and the money we put into it, and they will work, and that's how we will build an economy, right? Yeah. They'll do jobs for us, we'll pay them, and then this will happen, right? Nothing wrong with that. That's actually how any large country is going to work. But they just moved the investment from that to roads, and I think at some point they're going to stop doing the roads. Now what they're doing, and of course you can always tell what's the latest thing by what they're trying to fund. Well, now it's electric cars. Like, this country is trying, they are actually trying to transition people to electric cars. And they're doing it top down. They're doing it with federal government investment and funding.
Yep. And they're regulations.
Putting money and regulation. They're putting money into it. And you know they are, because increasingly I'm seeing, when I do drive across this country, just actual large installations for electric car recharging, where I never used to, like, even 5 years ago, 3 years ago, I didn't see that shit. You'll see just like these, and no one's at them. That's the other thing. Everyone's lined up at the pump, and no one is pulled up to these fucking charging stations. Right. That'll eventually change once the money is.
Another example of conservative retardation too, because they'll fall for this every time. But, well, it's not profitable to do it that way, so that's why it's not being done.
That's not true.
Let's do the same thing with the farming. Like, well, where's the small farms? Oh, well, that's not profitable. You got to have a mega farm. Well, why do you have to have a mega farm?
Yeah, why?
Because of public policy that was being influenced by corporate interest, that's why.
Right. Right.
All the way down the chain, yeah. Because that's the other thing, too, like with the rail versus semi-truck. Rail is far more efficient. Far more efficient than semi-truck. By huge amounts.
Yes.
Much more efficient. And, I mean, in terms of fuel cost, it's incredible how big a difference it is. But yet we have this incredibly inefficient infrastructure that involves semi-trucks driving back and forth, creating cost upon cost upon cost and maintenance and trying to
keep it's also the roads themselves are more expensive.
I thought you meant the website.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you just think about it from a practical perspective, like, okay, yeah. So let's
also our website.
This infrastructure creating cost upon rubber tires.
Yeah, they took a longer amount of time and escalated it to a more expert department before they told us to go fuck ourselves. So.
They can't do anything, is that what they're saying?
They fucking have no idea.
No, right.
They're not going to send a technician out to do a little testing?
Well, based on what I know about this issue, which I'm not going to talk about because it's way too technical and in-depth, there's some weird fucking thing going on. I can't explain it. They apparently can't either, so.
Must be the feds.
Well, this is downstream from censorship.
Yeah, it is.
It's ultimately downstream from censorship, this problem that we're having. But yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Anyway.
Whatever. We were just talking about, of course, like trains and shit. Trucks and trains, yeah.
Yeah.
And well, the funny thing is, it's like, well, if it's not profitable, therefore it doesn't happen. Then you, like, literally you explain to me all these fucking electric car charging stations I'm seeing pop up all over the country. With just huge numbers of electric car charging kiosks with no cars in front of them. Obviously, the government and the system has made a decision that they want people to go in this direction. And it's going to take a few years, but eventually it'll happen. If this is what they want, this will happen. And what would you do to stop it? Right. You can't stop it through consumer action. You can't stop it through refusing. Well, you can't stop it by saying, I'm going to continue to drive a gas-guzzling car because I like it. Mm. Fuck you, government. No, the only way you could stop it is to take over the government and subsidize gas-guzzling cars. That's what you'd have to do if you wanted to maintain, if that's what you wanted. You know, I would respect conservatives if they were to say, like, we want the government to subsidize big truck. Like, even if I didn't agree with that. Or have a policy, or here's respect them for going about it the right way.
I have an even better idea. Like, of course, there's no one that's ever going to say this. Why has anybody ever said, okay, you want to transfer the entire transportation, like consumer and end-user transportation from gas to electric? Okay, subsidize everything. Don't just subsidize the charging station. Subsidize me. Make it cost-free for me to move from my gas guzzler to an electric car.
Just give me a free car.
Give me a car. do some, dispose of my car, do whatever you got, or yeah, we could
pay
do
me a lot of money.
Pay me a lot do of it. Money. I'll do make it. It will happen. I mean, this is what people don't want to go like. This is like this is American consumerism. It's like consumer capitalism. Like you, yeah, we're gonna make this change, and the brunt of the cost is gonna be paid by you. We'll accept. Right. We'll subsidize the industry. We'll subsidize capital. We'll do government investment in the big companies that are going to profit off this painful transition that we're going to force you to make. Like, right. why is it always in there? Like, because, like, you know, do the conservatives have any problem with all that subsidy? To a point, they talk about it. They never stop it, but they never even also consider, like, well, why don't we just subsidize the user base to make this transition happen?
Well, the other funny thing is, if you like electric, why don't you subsidize trains?
Well, there's niggers on trains. I don't want to go on a train.
No, yeah. Well, actually, electric trains are full of niggers because those are like subways and light rail and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, I mean,
I said I that guess on,
they still, what they said still that must on, use I like said, steam engines to go cross country yeah. on those big freight trains. What do they use? They got to still use that,
steam
right?
engines.
Steam. What do they use? You got to use electric engines? What do
you think they're out there using steam engines?
Yeah, the guy's shoving
coal. I don't fucking in. Know. What do they use?
They use a diesel electric. When you use a diesel electric strip, you got a fucking gigantic diesel engine that turns a
I think they still use coal-powered steam engines. Does the, I'm convinced of it.
Do these train guy unions, does the union still force every engine to have a fireman sitting there even though there's no fire left?
They've got
an engineer.
No, because there's no engine left. There's no trains.
No, there's a fireman. They still have a fire. Like, you have to have a fireman.
Do you throw things in the fire?
The guy that throws the coal in the fire.
Do you know how happy Shane would be if they were still running actual steam engines back and forth?
I know, but you're getting off
the
point. Like, dude, this is why unions are so bad.
You can live in my universe where they still are.
The union is making sure a guy with no job to do, like, has a job on the train. He just sits there for the whole ride. Like, yep, I'm the fireman. If we had a pile of coal and a steam engine, I'd be throwing that coal in there. We don't, so I'm just going to sit here.
Well, doesn't he have just like a bunch of cans of diesel and he just pours?
No,
it
I think he just sits
need,
there.
Anymore.
I think he just sits there. He's just like having a free ride on the train. He's the free rider. Probably.
God, I wish that were my job.
That's the thing is I've talked to people about that kind of job and they're like, well, you'll just be owned by the rail company. You'll never see your family again if you work for the rail.
Oh yeah. God, please. I'm joking. I just became racist and I got the same effect. Okay.
Why was I thinking about over the road truckers, Lisa? Recently?
No, but the thing is this. Like the thing is like the that this is interesting. Are they is there anything in any of these bills about transition to like the new electric future, about going back to like the old electric future? Like trains? Like, why don't you subsidize it? Because we're talking about how there's like a 30% drop in employment in this sector.
In the United States versus other countries, it's really kind of interesting. Like, if you have factories in a lot of countries, they're required by law to have a connection to the local railway. And that's how they move their product from factory to various distribution hubs further on down the chain.
We don't have factories anymore. Do we have factories anymore?
No.
We just build butthurt.
There's
country.
Like a song, but not many.
But that's another example of if you wanted to, if you really felt like it, you could use government regulations to restructure things in a way that's a bit more sustainable, a bit more efficient, just would work out better in the long term. Like, what if your Walmart had to be located next to a fucking railway? That would be interesting.
Would they use the railway for delivering product or black people?
Yeah. There would have to be
it delivers
two,
the product, and then the black people come and steal the product.
Why don't you deliver product directly to black people?
But this is my like hell. This is my fear. Like I take the train.
You never know what they want. You got to give them an assortment.
I take the train to Walmart and I buy all this product and I get on the train and go home and blacks steal.
No,
product.
You don't take the train to Walmart. No, you drive to Walmart, but the product arrives. Via
wait, I thought you said I wasn't allowed to have a car anymore. I thought that's what this was the future.
No, then you take your bicycle.
What if I bought a flat screen TV? It's like 65 inches. I can't.
We're gonna have to deal with the wind shear on your way home.
Yeah, it's gonna suck.
You have a lot of resistance. You're gonna have to set it up so it's not sideways to the wind.
We'll do it on a windy day.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But then if you do it sideways, you get blown right off the road. Like, yeah. Anyway,
what I'm talking about doesn't mean that you.
No,
you
I know.
Personally, go back and forth, but your hubs of where you have items and where you're producing items should be connected by rail, not interstate.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Right, like the industrial economy of making and shipping, distributing product could be done by rail, which would be then saving a lot of fossil fuel, which would leave ample room for individual consumers to drive car to get where they want to go.
Perhaps local trucks.
And then you have like this mixed system where you're not overtaxing one particular type of resource or one particular type of transportation. You have less congestion on road. You need less road maintenance. A lot of benefits to this type of thing. Yeah. However,
that's the other problem is if you do it like under the current system, right? So trucks come off the interstate near where I live. They get on a local road for a brief distance to drive so to the obnoxious. Walmart. So now they're smashing up local infrastructure plus the highways. It's a fucking mess.
Yeah, if you get behind them, you can't see anything, and it's just annoying. Yeah. Yeah, no,
if you look at actual road wear statistics, it's almost entirely semi-trucks. Like, they do the absolute most damage of anything
else. Yes, this was the subject of Roderick Long and his treatise on why Walmart is, like, over-subsidized, and it was because of the shipping or something like that.
No, no, they're totally...
It's not just them either. I mean, it's just log trucks, all kinds of shit like that.
Basically everybody. But the other thing is this, though. The subsidy in and of itself isn't... Like, there's nothing inherently wrong with, like, the idea of the main way that we have decided to distribute product being effectively financed or subsidized by the government. Like, you probably actually can't get away from it because I can't think of any system in the modern industrialized world that has gotten away from it. So we might actually have some kind of empiricism here that says, like, well, we literally don't have an example of a system where a major transportation system...
Well, that's fine. Let's subsidize one that's more efficient.
Right, which is so now the issue is not subsidy or no. The issue is what's the best thing to subsidize?
Yeah. Let's subsidize the one that uses less fuel, requires less maintenance costs. Let's do that one.
And is less annoying?
Yeah. Yeah, and separates all of the freight traffic from passenger traffic. That would be great.
Probably lead to less road deaths and shit like that too, you know. All kinds of benefits.
What are we going to do with all the truckers? Subsidize them.
They can work for the railroad. It's
the rail industry.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Now they can be firemen. Now they can, because all they really want to do is sit in their ass. So now they can sit.
I don't think they want to sit in their ass. You know what? They could bring it through on a train. You have a restaurant car, so you don't have to eat like Arby's and like McDonald's.
It probably would still be that quality.
Have you ever eaten a train burger? No. I want the train to be serving like Norwegian boxed like school kid lunches. Have you ever seen that meme of like? These European countries with their what they serve in schools for lunch versus American lunches. That's what.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, we should be doing that. I mean, I don't know if that meme is real or not, but
it's like, wow, it's almost like a white people's socialist country just does everything better.
It's almost like a country run by the same people that live there for the most part, like take better care of issues like that. Whereas when you have a country of Jews, you know, country run by Jews that are just trying to make money off every fucking angle possible, you end up with. Institutional slop served to your children in seed oils.
Yeah, and they'll end up with that too. Those countries, because again, once you introduce into the, because they're already having problems. Like those countries were just, I think honestly, like they were just a little bit too much of a good model, and it was really interesting. I remember when, you know, libtards are always like romanticizing and praising the Nordic countries because they had these like, you know, they would call them welfare states, but it was really just a state that was like looking after the people. It was like, it was actually, and they're actually kind of
like, it's a bad thing. Like the welfare of the people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's well, welfare has a bad, their job. That's kind of welfare, their job.
Of course. Has welfare. A bad
yeah.
In
welfare.
America
welfare gives, people. It means giving niggers money and giving Mexicans free rent. So.
Right. When you don't have niggers.
Right.
Then your welfare state is actually just good. And so, they have these systems were actually also like, let's be honest, like this is national socialism to some extent. They were nation states that introduced a socialist system within their own borders to benefit their own people. And so now that's going to get fucked up. I mean, it's already getting fucked up, like because they've introduced enough non-Swedes and non-Norwegians and non-Nordic people into those countries that it's just a mess. Like, you know, it was funny. There was this thing that happened a few years ago where like Tim Pool and Lauren Southern went to Malmo, Sweden.
Oh.
And now Malmo, Sweden is the southernmost, I believe it's like the southernmost city. It's not on the mainland. It's in some island or something. Anyway, it's a pretty big city in Sweden. It was known as the worst city for immigration. And they had this idea that because the Swedish are a bunch of libtards, they're letting themselves be taken over by radical Islam, right? This conservative narrative, like the Swedish socialist libtards are too soft, so they're letting themselves be taken over by radical Islam.
And this is why we can't support Palestine over Israel.
Right. And Malmo, their claim was like Malmo is being taken over by Sharia law. So they went to Malmo with like a camera crew and everything to discuss, to document how this one time Swedish city was now being taken over by Muslim Sharia law. And the thing they found, it wasn't taken over by Sharia law. It was actually just no different than an American city. Because it was just a bunch of brown people running around and capitalism run rampant and just ugliness and despair and shittiness and crap. And they went, they're like, oh, this place is just, we thought there was Sharia law, but this is just actually normal. It's just like America. It's like, yes, it's not actually Sharia law. What it is just a city with a lot of different ethnicities, different Sharia languages spoken, and rampant capitalism.
The Sharia law was...
You're used to that.
The Sharia law was just another op to make sure that nobody got in their head that it was a good idea to like be mean to gays. To have Sharia law, it's, I mean, we all know the people that it's geared toward to keep under control, but it's like some of its principles are like would be pretty good, and the things that we've abandoned entirely, we just do them in a different way.
Well, Sharia law is fine for Muslims, like it's fine for them. But the scare there was, I mean, if you think about it, what they were doing was they were exploiting a fear of your culture being taken over by another culture.
Yeah.
And they were doing it. So they know that this is something that people feel is going on, but they can't quite put their finger on how it's going on. And so then they give it like this concrete, like Sharia law, like, okay, here's a direct, like this is a hard system of laws from a completely foreign culture to us. Right. It's totally different than us. It's not how we do things. It's totally. And they're coming in, they're taking over. But it was used to then just point you at the enemies of Jews and just distract you from how your culture is actually being taken over. Like, we do have a hostile takeover of our culture and frankly, an increasingly hard system of laws and rules protecting that foreign and alien culture. But it's not like Muslim Sharia law. In fact, Muslim Sharia law would be just as much suppressed as our views are under this system. It's a system of like gay Jewishness. And in order to shore up that system, they tell you, oh, look, Sharia law. That's terrible. And it's like, because I hate Sharia law, I now love gay Judaism because it's opposed. Right. It's fucking so stupid.
Yeah,
but I don't even see people doing that shit anymore. That Sharia law stuff. That stuff went by the wayside.
That seems to have been a lot of the war on terror level of prejudice has kind of fallen by the wayside.
Yeah,
because it's not.
I don't even
not,
really see like white nationalists doing that shit anymore. There's probably some people still stuck in like we're not gonna have Sharia law, but it's just so like not obviously not what's going on anymore that it's like, dude.
No, it was a great point that I never considered that when you brought up. It's like these people, like taking like the example mostly of like the European like refugee crisis. When you say like these people aren't Muslims, they're just niggers. These aren't devout religious people. They're just Africans and Middle Easterners. Like they're just as nihilistic as any corner boy you've ever seen, and they just want to like do crime and rape and have no, like it's got nothing to do. It's not a religious deal.
Like right. Well, they want it to be religious because then you don't talk about race. You talk about a religion, right. And then you're also then Jews can use that to whip up stuff for wars against enemy countries of theirs.
But if you talk about religion, it's like, wait a minute, they throw gays off of rooftops?
Hold on. Right. Well, this was where like it started to backfire. Yeah. You're like, wait, actually Sharia law. Like, we could put women in bags and throw gays off. Okay.
Like,
but
a woman's not supposed to go out like in like skimpy clothing on a. I mean, I don't believe with raping her to death for doing that, but I agree with, in principle with what they're trying to do here.
Sharia law is that obviously when you get sort of the dregs of the Muslim population, I'm not even talking about blacks because blacks are always just blacks, right?
Yeah.
You got like Arabs and Pakistanis, Iranians and things like that. Now there's different tiers of these people, which I would probably put Iranians like close to the top racially of these groups. Pakistanis probably at the bottom. But you get these groups, and they've got Islam. And when you take them out of their Sharia law Islam society and you bring them to the West and there's more like liberalism and permissiveness, well, they start raping people. Why do you think Sharia law ever became a thing? You know, like obviously the lower tiers of these societies don't have the ability, self-control, or morality to not go and do like gang rapes.
Mm-hmm.
So the elites of their societies developed a very harsh legal system to prevent this shit from happening. And that's obviously what they need. But when you bring them here because of some race-mixing Jewish agenda, some anti-white race-mixing Jewish agenda, multicultural globalism, whatever you want to call it, when you bring them here and then they're no longer subjected to this, well, they form rape gangs again. I mean, wow. You know, it's like this actually would have been predicted. It's probably Jews probably knew it, frankly. I think they're more because they're more aware of this kind of stuff. And they actually view people in terms of groups.
Yeah.
Which just gives them a massive fucking advantage over, you know, whites who've been just totally individualized. But yeah.
Yeah, when you're not lying to yourself about stuff like this, it's like you have an advantage.
Whatever right. That works and so, out. So again, I'm not like against Sharia law for the people for whom it was developed, but I also believe that the issue is a racial one. Sharia law is a racial adaptation to the characteristics of the race of people that have it.
I mean, there was almost a healthy impulse to that kind of stuff, the anti-Sharia law, because like you eventually get to the question like we shouldn't even be having this discussion. Why are these people even here? And that funny, like nothing was that was never answered until like Trump did his executive orders, which the other side fought tooth and nail to like, no, you can't ban immigrants from Muslim countries. And it's like, why not? It was just so funny that during what was supposed to be a war against these people, there was no government opposition to them coming here for refuge. Like, gee, why? What if something else is going on here? People are coming up like, because the thing about Sharia law was like, you live in like fucking Texas or something. You're a good old boy, whatever, going to church, and like suddenly like this giant mosque is popping up somewhere and you see the people and the girls in the tribe. Yep. It's just culturally alien. It's like, why is this being done?
It's
to
not,
me?
Yeah, no,
they shouldn't even
like
be
it.
Here.
That's right. During the war on terror, they really didn't treat it as like a national security threat to have them coming here.
No, it was
no,
like a
they
good thing.
They increased them like, by twofold. Like there were not very many Arabs in America pre 9/11. Now there's more. There's not it's still like, not that many relative to others, but they like increased them and they.
We're gonna kill
and they
them.
They made it a point to do so. Yeah.
We're gonna kill them in Iraq and Syria for the Jews, so they can come help like exterminate you in your homeland. Like that's the plan.
And I think like, the healthy instinct was the instinct of like I feel like I'm being taken over by a foreign culture. But then the problem with then focusing on the religious aspect of it was that the ultimate fact of it is a racial one.
Right.
And so then what conservatives were trolled into doing was, well, I like Muslims as long as they're willing to assimilate, as long as they're willing to be American. I'm like, when Muslims assimilate away from Sharia law, you get rape gangs.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
that makes sense.
You know, like, I'm not in, and there's probably plenty of perfectly decent Muslims and stuff, but I'm talking about like the dregs of those societies, which are the ones that they worked the hardest to get here. And in Europe, it's fucking way worse. We actually get a higher quality of Muslim in America than they get in Europe. In Europe, they get the absolute shit. They get the fucking gutter trash of those societies. They just get Africans. They just get fucking straight up nigger, machete wielding nigger Africans, as well as, you know, like just like totally like what low caste Pakistanis or like people who would have been untouchables or whatever, just like the ultimate trash. And yeah, they're fucking doing rape gang shit. Of course. So, you know, the issue is a racial one. And it's predictable. It's predictable that this will happen because these are racial issues. You know, you could have a Bosnian Muslim in your community and they won't do that, but you get these type and they will. And so it's race. The issue is race. But yeah, the only healthy aspect to that, which Jews got way out. The thing is, Jews got out in front of that like before we even started getting anywhere close to what like they were out in front of it, you know, years ago, doing the counter jihad, counter Sharia law stuff.
Like. That psyop was happening before all this even really existed. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, were there even white supremacists around? Like, what was Stormfront like on this issue? Were they even?
Oh, I'm sure they were.
They were all about it, probably. I mean, I don't know. I never saw those.
Generally
speaking,
I think what was the white nationalist community back then was on board with like anti-jihad type stuff. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you be?
Probably, possibly even cynically, because they were probably like, we can use this to get. And I remember this argument too. We can use it to get people to do this. And racing I was like, skids, the problem is if it's not exactly what, if it's not what our argument is, then you are, and it's what conservatives believe, then it's something, you know, conceived of by Jews. And so you're just going to reiterate something conceived of by Jews and try and make it work for you. I don't think you're going to be able to do it.
These almost like sort of close, like sort of nearby adjacent narratives that you could think you can use to sort of fool the system and other people into supporting. I think it seems to never work. I mean,
it doesn't work. And the reason thing, it doesn't work,
the fake thing becomes the real thing. Like I was talking about, like globalism. Globalism like did not get people thinking about Jews. Globalism is just its own thing now. People are like, these people that want to rule internationally, these globalists.
Right.
And that has become like the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates.
Yeah, the people that were talking about Jews that then said, let's talk about globalists, it's are complete. Now just people that talk about globalists and tell you not to talk about Jews. Yeah. And ultimately, the sort of imperative of not talking about Jews takes over your entire, because that's like, because your strategy is don't talk about Jews, let's go through this alternate thing. So now what do? You start policing other people.
Yep.
Yeah. When they're talking about, it's like, wow, this totally works out for Jews, because they don't actually give a shit about these. About whether you say
what is the strategy here anyway? It seems like there's diminishing returns to trying to appeal to people who buy into conspiracy theory type thinking to begin with. Like if you're gonna get really amped up about my globalists, probably you won't ever get on board with actually identifying the true problem.
Right. Well, the like, issue
are you trying to steal Alex Jones' audience? Is that the plan?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, you better start selling them water filters.
Some people, yes. But, yeah, I mean, the best thing to do, we've talked about this is like, who actually, and I've talked to guys where I'm like, but you didn't come from this type of background. You don't believe in these things.
Yep.
And this wasn't also, nor was this how you were convinced of our ideas.
No.
How were you were convinced of our
it's
ideas?
I found
you guys on the internet. I thought it was funny. I started listening, and then I became. It's like, okay, so you think that can't happen to anybody else?
Well, they think I see. I know exactly what the thought process is to a certain extent. It's like they know like the social programming that they had to overcome to accept these ideas and be willing to spread them. And they're like, how can I convince people without forcing them to have to go through that?
Right.
Obstacled, which is very difficult. Like, how do I get them to be on my side without thinking that they're doing something low status or against, you know, immoral?
Or it's gonna get them in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, like how do I get them? It's like, and that's where everything goes off the rails because the answer is you don't.
How do I get? And the other thing is like, there's these people that have developed like a group association and identification with these certain set of ideas, like conservatives, right? Mm. And so. You're like, how can I just get those conservatives that all already have this group association and identification with one another and these ideas to just actually suddenly all of them, because we figured out a trick to make them all flip. They're now all like us. And none of them had to, like you said, do that work. And I just think it's not likely to happen. And if it does, whenever it does, it's someone who's just been convinced. Right. Like, and so, yes, the in order to be convinced, you have to be willing to break all these taboos, and conservatism is actually built around specifically not doing that. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's deliberately constructed to not do it. Like I was talking to Alex while you were on the phone about I saw this thing where somebody was talking to a boomer conservative. They sent me some screenshots or they were posted in a group. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about they were just trying to get this person to acknowledge that Antifa is not fascist, you know, the typical, the really old argument. They're like, no. And they're saying, like, Antifa is not only not fascist, they are the same now as they were when they were fighting Nazis in the 20s and 30s. And the boomer conservative goes so far as to say, no, Antifa was good then. Yeah. They've gone off the rails now. Mm-hmm. And now they're not. Now they're Nazis.
Now they're bad.
And it's just like,
okay, faggot, what's next? What else can you say?
I mean, even arguing with that person any further is just like pointless because that's it's like somebody, you have
that's the person that's the person you would rather trick because he is so steeped in the social conditioning that fascism just means bad politic. That person has bad politic, and I can never admit that there were a good politic. Yeah, you know, no, that's just no, all it is.
The priors that have been inserted into these people's brains is the only thing bad ever was Nazi Germany, even the USSR. So Jamie is telling me that these conservatives on Gab, there's a trick. There's one neat trick to make them shut the fuck up. Uh-huh. And that is to ask them why, if communism is so bad, the U.S. was so staunchly allied with it in World War II.
Yeah.
How do you explain this? And they can't. They, like, literally, there's a few of these points where these arguments, because ultimately things always refer back to World War II and things like this and Nazism, whatever. And so it's like, you know, there's certain like trigger points you can hit with them where they literally just have to shut down.
Yeah.
And they can't actually answer it. And she's on there trolling with, there's a whole crew of our guys and her out there, you know, trolling these conservatives on these particular trigger points. And just, they just shut down. They cannot answer. And she said to this day, she's not gotten an answer to this question.
Yeah.
Why, if the USSR and communism is so awful, why was America in its greatest moment its staunchest ally?
Hmm. Impossible to answer. Anyway, we got to take a break. We got to go.
We got to take a break.
Hour 26. We're all late as it is. We're going to take a break. That break, we're just going to start recording. I'm just going to start uploading. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Daily SOA.
God. Everything sounds so terrible to me now. I want my Sennheisers, but things break when you use them. I'll use them later when I'm trying to finish the Almond Song. The Almond Song is almost done. It's going to be almost done for like 3 weeks, probably. That's how I roll. So what are you doing? It's hour two. 918. 918. I don't have a joke for 918. I don't know anything 918 related. Feels like no. I should, but
I feels like it's like
917, 914.
917, there was a joke. 914 was a joke. Is there an area? I feel like it should be an area code, but I don't know.
It probably is. Maybe it's someplace shitty. I don't know.
Could look it up where it is.
Ah.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
So I've got something fun here. Tyrannosaurus Rexist on post, our friend. Johnny, what the hell does he call himself? Johnny Ginero or something like that? I can't remember. He's got this mega thread of black serial killers and stuff.
Nice.
I dropped it in the chat there. He said, he posts, I'm going to do a pinned collection thread of non-white mass murders because they get memory holed completely. So I don't know if you want to go into some of these. James Edward Poo. Like, oh, they James called him Pop.
Poo.
I wonder if this is the infamous corn pop, and he's just regular pop. That could refer to, probably refers to Sody Pop. He's Soda Pop from, wasn't Soda Pop in The Outsiders? Isn't that a character?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So he's an American.
Wait, no, wasn't it? It was Pony Boy.
Yeah, but like, wasn't his friend Soda Pop?
It's like, yeah,
it was like all these guys with dumb names.
Stay real, N-word poo.
N-word poo. So he's a spree killer who on June 18th, 1990, killed 9 people and wounded 4 others in a GMAC, now Ally Financial, car loan office in Jacksonville, Florida.
I had to make that correction.
Damn. So he was trying to get a car loan. He killed all these people and then committed suicide. The day before, he had killed an innocent woman. Wow. And man on Jacksonville's north side wounding 2 teenagers and robbed a convenience store. The shooting at the GMAC office was the deadliest mass shooting committed by a lone gunman in Florida history, surpassing the murder of 8 machine shop employees in Hialeah by Carl Robert Brown on August 20th, 1982. He was a teacher. So early life. I don't know how much we need to wait a second. How many murder? This guy also has like a 1971 murder. On May 8th, 1971, Pooh got into an argument with his best friend, David Lee Pender, who had called his girlfriend a bitch. I mean,
wow. In the
following scuffle, Powell grabbed a .38 caliber revolver from his girlfriend's purse and shot Pender three times, who eventually died in the hospital. According to relatives, he never managed to get over the fact that he had killed his friend. Just nigger problems. I got black problems. It's like, yeah. I lost my temper.
I haven't gotten over the fact that I killed my friend.
Like, I'm just such a murderer. I murdered my best friend. And that's almost like the Menendez brothers? Like the, who are those guys that, like, we should feel bad because now they don't have parents, you know, because they murdered them?
Oh, yeah, the Menendez brothers.
Was it the Menendez? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man, I've been forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, were they Jewish?
What the fuck? So this was going on in 1971. He was initially charged with murder, though the charge later reduced to manslaughter. In the end, he pled guilty to aggravated assault and was sentenced to 5 years probation. But the judgment of his guilt was withheld by the court, subject to the successful completion of probation. So you're a nigger. You're allowed to murder your best friend in, like, a rage. That's amazing to me. That's like,
well, yeah, where is the
where is the racist American justice system that does everything it can to railroad blacks and put them in jail, you know, even when they're in it? Here we have a fucking murderer dead to rights and 5 years probation, and then he's not guilty. And then he survives till like 20 years later, goes on a spree killing, a rampage in a fucking car loan office after killing some other people. Oh, man, in December 1988. He traded his old car for a 1988 Pontiac Grand. Poor old nigga thinks it's a Cadillac! Though he soon had difficulties making his payments. Black people don't pay their bills! I feel like I'm doing a fucking... I feel like I'm just trapped in a... I'm like doing a Sinbad stand-up routine. He didn't pay his bills! And then he shot his friend! As a result, the car was voluntarily... repossessed by what do you mean voluntarily? Like would the lender like involuntarily repossess? Maybe that means he handed it over. He must have handed it back by GMAC in 1990. He received the bill for $6,394 of outstanding fees in March, and again on April 6th, which was the last contact meeting in the office. 2 months prior to the shootings, he purchased a Universal brand M1 carbine in a local pawn shop. Well, maybe he should have paid. That well, he probably said, I get a car back. I ain't owe nothing on that shit. I know exactly how that goes. I get a car back. I need my car no more.
One here.
Like now I'm feeling a little sympathy for him because he's mad about jewelry, right?
Which one is this that you're doing?
This is Pooh.
This is still Pooh?
Yeah, he has.
You haven't moved on?
No, I'm still doing Pooh. In 1990s, the spree killing. In 1971, he just murdered his friend and got off for it. Just murdered his best
blacks
friend.
Blacks are allowed to do that. Yeah.
But I'm
like basically the way it works is if it can be characterized as a fight, yeah. Black people are allowed to kill.
Yeah, and that's basically what happened.
Which is why they're probably going to get either off or get a light sentence for Ethan Liming's death because they're going to characterize it as a fight.
But here Here we have the thing that I love about Jews is like they lent him money for a car, couldn't make the payments, gave the car back. They still want to get paid though. I sympathize with that. Like, they should have to take the hit there. Like, maybe don't lend money to niggers in the first place. Don't send it like you took the car back.
I feel like there's a caveat emptor on lending money to
niggers. That's a great point. Why is caveat emptor? Why is that not extended to lenders?
Would then freeze the economy because we would lose velocity of capital. What would happen if lenders had to face caveat emptor?
Oh my God!
The economy would freeze up because they would just hoard their money and never invest it. So you absolutely have to have the government subsidizing bank loans to niggers to make sure they happen. That's really important. Because no way should that Jew have to face the market risk of loaning to a black person who might just run off with the money. I mean, the amount of security of agencies that are there to secure loans so Jews can lend to blacks with a guaranteed return. I mean, the federal government basically secures every single one of them because blacks literally don't pay their bills. They just don't. And it's known they don't. So it's just another. It's, and in fact, Jews know this too. Jews know this too. They know they don't pay their bills and they're dumb enough to sign the fucking document knowing they can't pay or have no interest in paying. And increasingly now they have lowered standards to make it so they have to give them the loans anyway, because otherwise it's racist. So they're like, okay, if you're going to do that, well, then you're going to, you know, we want to give them loans. We know they can't pay. We know they're dumb enough to take the loan anyway. The only issue here is their credit rating. Well, let's just not deal with that. And then the government secures the loan. And then this is what happens. So
there's a lot more to the story.
So you get niggers literally that live in like ghetto-ass apartments driving like Mercedes and shit. They get it for like a month before it's repossessed.
Well, this guy was he was in a Grand Am, so at least he was trying to like not pay
his
bills.
Trying to be more frugal?
He was trying to not pay his bills within his means.
I'm not paying my bills within my means.
Yeah. So Poe was living
You're not going to pay your bills. Why not just get to BMW?
Poe was living in a rundown duplex in Jacksonville's Northwest Quadrant at the time. Was known by his neighbors as a quiet, nice man who kept a regular and fixed schedule, but also as someone who would be...
Fixed schedule of never going to mailbox to drop that bill.
As someone who would also...
He was never there.
Yeah, very consistent on that schedule.
Consistently not paying his bill.
Someone who become angry fairly quickly and get engaged in enraged conversations, especially in matters concerning money and his car. Relatives described him as a recluse with no friends. So he's always yelling and screaming about this car and his payment. After the death of his mother 3 years come on. Okay, well, I guess he says, they're not using it as an excuse, I guess, but Poe said he was said to have emotionally changed for the worst 3 years prior, saying he had nothing left to live for and arguing the world would take someone, that he would take someone with him when he leaves his world. Frequently, he had violent outbursts which were directed against his wife, Teresa, and twice he threatened her by putting a gun to her head. I mean, it's a good thing that they let him out of that murder charge in 1971. He's really, like, he's done wonders with that second chance, putting a wife to his gun's head. That's what I almost said, putting a wife to his gun's head. In January 1990, they separated as Mrs. Powell feared for her safety. On March 2nd, she was granted an injunction that disallowed Powell to get in contact with her for a year. As a consequence, he withdrew even more and rarely socialized. Let's see. Then he goes and he takes his blanket wrapped M1 carbine. He walked to a group of men on a street corner in the north of Jacksonville, killed Lewis Carl Bacon with 2 shots to the chest before fleeing. So he just randomly killed a guy. This night of June 17th at 1 o'clock in the morning. A couple minutes later, he attacked Doretta Drake, who was chatting with 2 other women in a vacant parking lot 2 blocks away from the crime scene. After hitting Drake with his car, throwing her on the sidewalk, Powell stepped out of his Buick and killed her with a single shot to the head before driving away. How do you pay for the Buick? Where'd he get the Buick from? A short time later, Powell...
Wait, he had a Buick?
Now he's got a Buick.
The Grand Am?
What happened to the Grand... Well, the Grand Am got repoed. That's what this is all about.
Oh, so maybe he stole a Buick. Maybe he's bought another one. He's bought a Buick.
Yeah. So a short time later, he shot and wounded 2 youths, 17 and 18 years of age, while after asking them for directions. Later, on the morning of June 18th, Powell... entered a convenience.
Did they get the directions wrong or something?
I guess so. Entered a convenience store, threatened the clerk with a pistol. Now we got a pistol. And stating he didn't have anything to lose, demanded all the money on the register. After getting the money, he left. Then he goes over to the GMAC office to pay off the bill, I guess. Was there $6,000 in that
bill? Oh, yeah, he's paying off that bill.
Yeah.
With interest.
So after robbing the convenience store, he visited his mother's grave one last time, called his supervisor, stated he wouldn't be coming to work because he had something else to do. Yo, nigga, I got some other shit to do.
I gotta say something. This is like a much more relatable murder spree than most niggers, because this one, it's like this guy seemed to have a gripe. I'm not saying he was right, but he seemed to actually have some kind of grievance, and he did stuff like he called his boss, he visited his mama grave, and it's not just like
it all goes
just
back,
like
it all goes back to what if he got the chair in like 1975 because he murdered his best friend in cold blood in 1971.
But this is like nigger falling down. It's like he's like a nigger version of Defense.
Defense was right. This guy's just
that's
a nigger,
the difference, right? No, I understand. But what I'm saying is, it's not like just some shit, like just opening, like spraying bullets into like a street corner for like shooting at a bouncy house because there's just no reason.
Well,
there's some intentionality to it.
his initial victims were maybe just getting used to killing people, I guess, because he was just killing random people in a neighborhood until he before he went to the that was his like practice round. I was like, you know, like you have the training mode in a video game. It's like before you learn how the controls work, so you're just gonna go around the streets of Jacksonville just shooting people randomly, see how it feels. Try to get up, you know, see how the M1 carbine, see how committing like heinous crime. Well, he already knows how to commit heinous crimes. He murdered his best friend in 1971. So let's see. After riding, he visited his mother's grave, called his supervisor. He parked his car at the General Motors Acceptance Corporation office. He entered the building through the front door, armed with his M1, a ROM RG-31-38 caliber revolver, several loaded magazines, and ammunition packed in his pockets. Without saying a word, he immediately began shooting with the carbine at two customers.
Wait a minute. You said it was a revolver.
He has an M1 and a revolver, yeah.
An M1 and a revolver?
Yeah.
Okay. There's like other interesting ones in this, like this Poo guy's. There's two that he's missed, two big ones that he has missed in this list. Unless it just keeps going.
Well, maybe he's not trying to do the big ones. He's trying to do the ones you never heard about.
True, but even the big ones you never heard about. Like, okay, let me ask you this.
Okay,
Do you remember? You probably heard him if you didn't know his name, Billy Kemmermere.
I don't believe I've ever heard that name before.
That is the nigger that was pretending to be staff at old folks' homes and smothering the old ladies.
And
they know of 18, probably 22 that he killed, and it could be up to like 90. And he's been sentenced to life in prison. Somebody was saying that he actually had gotten off, but from what I was like, holy shit, did this nigger get a Bronx jury? But no, it looks like in Dallas, he actually got convicted for one. And he's got life in prison for that, and they're saying he might still face death for some of the others if he's convicted on them, but I just don't think he will. And of course, the woman that he got actually convicted of murdering was Asian, not white. I mean, I know that it's not, it feels like the system almost is that petty, though. That like they did put this nigger in jail for life for smothering all these old people, but the one example case they actually got the guilty verdict on was an Asian woman, not a white woman. I mean, I feel like the system is that fucking petty.
Oh, I do too.
You know what I mean?
So what do we got here? The 1982 Wilkes-Barre shootings. I should say that's
Wilkes-Barre,
how they say it.
Thank you.
I forgot. Yes. George Emil.
I never heard about that.
George Emil Banks, a former Camp Hill prison guard. Fatally shot 13 people on September 25th, 1982 in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, in Jenkins Township. Leroy Jenkins! The victims included 7 children, 5 being his own, their mothers. How many baby mamas are we talking here? Some of their relatives and one bite. So this guy killed his family. His attorneys argued for the insanity defense, but following a trial before jurors from Allegheny County, and presided over by Luzerne County Common Pleas Judge Patrick J. Toole, Jr. Banks was convicted of 12 counts of first-degree murder and sentenced to death. And of course, November 29, 1990, the state legislature barred Wilkes-Barre'd the further use of the electric chair amid that debate that execution was cruel and unusual punishment. Lethal injection, okay. Banks' case was appealed, and on December he received a stay of execution, following a determination he was incompetent for. How are you be incompetent for execution? Are you breathing? Just kill the nigger that killed all these people. Incompetent to be executed, following a competency hearing. I hate this country so much. There's no saving this fucking country. How do you have in your legal system a designation for incompetent for execution? I have never heard of that before.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like he's not healthy enough to be killed. People have talked about this before.
I don't care about that. That makes it easier.
It's like, no, it's irrelevant, right? It's not
totally irrelevant.
It's not a relevant metric. Like, this guy needs to be sane or in good bodily health to be killed. Like, that doesn't... It's like you're mixing up your fucking... It's just strange.
It's just fucking...
I mean, if that was like the worst thing, it would be like, all right, but it's still... It's just like... It's just another...
So he
just another thing.
So on the night of September 24th, 1982, he drank large quantities of straight gin and took prescription drugs at his home on Schoolhouse Lanes in Wilkes-Barre.
And that didn't just finish him off. Like, no. That should have just, you know.
The next morning. Did he get out of bed? Was he hungover? The next morning, he used an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle to kill 8 people in his house, including three women in their 20s, all girlfriends and mothers of his children. And 5 children, 4 of them.
I was going to say he had 8 people in his house, so these were like his family members.
But they were like different. They
like
were
harem and
there were different girlfriends and baby mamas. That's fucked up.
Four and they killed them and their and all of his kids.
Killed them and all the kids. Well, some up. There's also a kid that's not his. There's 4 of the 5 children. Two of the women were his sisters. Two of them were his sisters. Bank stress and military fatigue.
Also, his baby mamas. I wouldn't be surprised.
It doesn't say here, but
okay.
He went outside.
No, that shit has happened before. Don't doubt it. Alex knows.
He went outside and he saw 22-year-old Jimmy Olsen and 24-year-old Ray Hall Jr. What?
Jimmy Olsen, yeah.
Working for Superman's pal? Planet. Did he have his why didn't he summon Superman with his wristwatch so he didn't get killed?
Right. Anyway, he shot them both from across the street, reportedly yelling that they would not tell anyone about this before he fired. He hit both men, fatally wounding Hall. Olsen survived, Banks drove away. He went to the Heather Highlands mobile home park where his former girlfriend, Sharon Mazzillo, and her son, Kisamayu, lived. And we've been trying to gain custody. Banks forced his way in and shot Mazzillo. He then shot and killed his sleeping son.
Shot Mozilla.
Banks killed. So this is another baby mama and kid.
Is that where they got the idea for the
I guess so. Banks killed Sharon's mother. That's Mazzilla's mother, who's trying to call police, and Sharon's 7-year-old nephew, who were also in the home. Hiding in the closet was Sharon's brother, whom Banks did not see. He was the only survivor and called the police, identifying Banks as the shooter. When police examined the victims, they made the connection to the shooting of Olsen Hall. They next found Banks' victims in his house. Police began to search for Banks, who abandoned his car, carjacked another vehicle. That was his key to getting off. You can defend yourself while carjacking a man. After abandoning the stolen vehicle, he stopped in a grassy, isolated area to rest and fell asleep.
Dude.
Being a nigger always catches up with you. I'm gonna lick
you. No, I guess just laziness.
Oh shit, they didn't get him. After he awoke, he visited his mother's house, also in Wilkes-Barre. He said it was to confess his crimes to her. She drove him to the house of Jacob Witt, a friend of Banks, where he sent her away and prepared for a standoff with the police.
Why does she drive him to the...
Why does his friend want to have a standoff? This is when the standoff between Banks and police began. The police brought his mother to their base to talk with Banks. They tried various tactics to get the murderer to surrender, including having a false news report played over the radio saying the children were alive and needed blood to survive. The police tried other tactics to draw Banks out of the house. Finally, Robert Brunson, it sounds like a nigga name, a former co-worker of Banks, was able to talk him out after a 4-hour standoff. As of September 39th, Banks was charged with 8 counts of murder, attempted murder, aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, grand theft auto, armed robbery, and felonious theft.
So he survived. He wasn't shot to death.
Right. This is
I
the guy.
Black people were always shot
no,
to
this
death.
No, this is the guy that was unfit for execution.
Right. So,
did they bring him, what I want to know is, did they bring him Burger King? Was he hungry when he was in custody? I mean, you do have to feed people that are in custody, right? I mean, I guess he's kneeling their necks. I don't know. Man. That shit is sick, man.
So did you see this Lane Bryant shooting? It's like this guy didn't like the big girls, I guess.
What?
He shot up a Lane Bryant.
Damn.
He shot up a Lane Bryant as in the place?
The store, yeah. The store for fat women.
Did he go to the dress bar next?
They were all women. Looks like he shot all women, yeah. They never caught this one, but it's known that it's black. Do you remember the black vampire? Black Dracula, the Blackula killer?
The movie?
Marcus Wesson?
Killer. I remember there being a Blackula.
Well, look up Marcus Wesson.
Dig through the
he's you don't have to. I've got it right here. Marcus DeLon Wesson is an American criminal convicted of 9 counts of first degree murder and 14 sex crimes.
Is he a seed oil magnate? This Wesson?
I think it's another kind of oil.
Oh, it's
he's like Jerry Curl.
Damn, this guy literally looks like a fucking ape.
No, he's like, this guy was the one who was keeping his family prisoner in his house and like making them sleep in coffins and shit like that. And he had like a bunch of kids through incestuous sex and stuff like that. And he ended up then like killing them all. And yeah, it's a very fucked up thing. He thought he was a vampire.
That is not a human. He's not a vampire. He's not human.
After dropping out of high school, Wesson joined the army. Shortly after leaving the military, Wesson moved in with an older woman, Rosemary Solorio, and her 8 children in San Jose, California. In 1971, she gave birth to Wesson's son. 1974, Wesson began sexually abusing Solorio's 8-year-old daughter, Elizabeth. Wesson then married her.
Imagine that, a nigger abusing a stepdaughter. Wow.
But wait, hold on. Shocked. Then he married her when she turned 14. Wait, I'm like, what? Wait, how did he marry her?
Huh?
He said he was married to her? When she turned 14, he was 27. 4 months later, she gave birth to her first child. Eventually, the couple had 10 children, including one infant who died. So basically, this nigger then became, he wrote his own Bible. Wesson was abusive towards his wife and children. He prevented Elizabeth from participating in the children's upbringing. He homeschooled the children and taught them from his own handwritten Bible that focused on Jesus Christ being a vampire. He told the children that he was God and had them refer to him as master or Lord. He taught the children to be prepared for Armageddon and said that the girls were destined to become Wesson's future wives. Wesson's school curriculum involved teaching girls oral sex as young as 8 or 9, their domestic responsibilities, including washing Wesson's dreadlocks and scratching his armpits and head.
They washed those things?
The girls were not allowed to talk to male siblings or their mother. Wesson raped 2 daughters and 3 nieces beginning at age 8. Each of the 5 girls became pregnant as a result. So he had this like rape dungeon house with all these people who were somehow incestually related to
him. And like he was the even Hills more have eyes, but it's the nigger version.
But it's black people doing it, right? You would if you were told this story, you'd be like, oh, this is like a Hollywood thing about like white trash people or something like that, right? But he also was like sleeping in a coffin and shit like that in the house. Yeah, no, seriously. Like this, there's more detail that's not even in this Wikipedia. So they actually, basically, what happened was the looks like the police got wind of what was going on in this house, and they were going to go in and try and like take some of these people out of the house, and so he started just like killing them. And yeah, there was a standoff ensued here. So this is like a true, actually like lunatic, insane like. The kind of shit that Chris Rock apparently says doesn't happen, right?
Right, right. That's what all these kind of are.
Yeah.
I'll have to do something. I'll do that on Monday, maybe. What else have we got in here? The Washington Navy Yard shooting?
Another one?
Yeah, another the same one.
The
nigger in the shotgun.
Oh, so, interestingly, this nigger actually had one of the girls that he had been raping and brainwashing commit the murders.
Oh, wow.
And then he tried to use that in his defense, but they were like, nah, like, you're still guilty. Because basically you told her to do that. So, yeah, anyway.
So the Washington Navy Yard shooting, September 16th, 2013, 34-year-old Aaron Alexis fatally shot 12 people and injured 3 others in a mass shooting at the headquarters of the Navy. I thought it said Navy SEAL. Navy Sea Systems Command inside the Washington.
There were 200 confirmed kills.
Or used HAARP.
There was like 13 or something.
They're
like
using mind control to make this nigger shoot people. I know tons of niggers. None of them shoot anyone. They have to use government mind control to get these niggers to do murder. I was the governor of Michigan or something. I don't remember. I think Michigan.
Minnesota.
Who cares? Starts with an M.
And I brought in a lot of
You know
of
what
niggers.
Else starts with M? Murder. You have to use mind control to turn these niggers that starts with N into a murderer that starts with M. HAARP. They're using the HAARP. It's the chemtrails. The chem is crack smoke. Crack smoke in
the
sky.
Well, the thing is, like, when Jesse Ventura was governor of Minnesota, I believe this is the time of peak nigger and like involved, like peak nigger relocation there, right? Wasn't really known as a place with lots of black people before that.
We used to make cars. Now we steal them. We have niggers. Oh, wait, no, that's Michigan.
Yeah, they make cars.
I don't know why I'm stuck on Michigan.
Fine. Whatever.
It's a funny line, though. All right. I don't know. What did this guy...
So he doesn't have Colin Ferguson on this list either.
You mean Colin Flaherty? Oh.
No, not Colin Flaherty. Remember Colin Ferguson? He shot up the Long Island Railroad?
Oh, I thought you meant the talk show host, the Scottish guy. Or was that, no. That's Craig Ferguson. Sorry.
I thought you meant Colin Quinn.
Craig Ferguson, man.
Yeah, it's Colin Quinn. So is there anything... mental health issues. Okay. I'm just skipping ahead. I don't want to read the entire articles. After the Navy Yard shooting, the media speculated that Alexis had appeared to be suffering from mental illness. Fuck you, the media. I'm sorry, you can't... So the media started covering for him. They're like, he's not just a murderer. We have to have a discussion about mental health. The media reported that Alexis had filed a police report in Rhode Island on August 2nd. He claimed he was the victim of harassment, and he was hearing voices in his head. According to the FBI official after the shooting, Alexis was under the belief he was being controlled or influenced by extremely low-frequency electromagnetic waves. I was right.
My fucking side.
I'm sorry. Oh, I forgot. You're literally like your sides are in orbit. I'm sorry.
My side is like literally killing me.
A message later obtained by federal authorities from Alexis' personal computing devices said, ultra-low-frequency attack is what I've been subject to the last 3 months. And to be perfectly honest... It's what has driven me to this. This guy's literally, wow, it's mind control. It's HARP. The HARP device is like...
Did they actually allege this in court?
I don't know. This is just shit. Did this the vents like make it into...
I'm gonna try to not laugh.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Like, I don't see anything about the trial. Like, what happened?
We have
the class. All right, we have the classic... modern day era reports of other shooters. Dude,
I'm like sweating.
I know. I'm not. I won't do the voice anymore. I promise.
Well, you know how when you have like a pain like that, like you actually.
Just... I know. You just trying to lock down, and they don't seem to have anything on the trial here. Just
I think it's too late. I'm just gonna think about it and start cracking up. The fact that I shouldn't be laughing is just making it even funnier and making me keep laughing.
Yeah, they're just like this article just goes on to talk about like security at military bases and shit and gun control and blah 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 blah.
Did the low frequency radio wave theory ever get debunked or proven or anything like that?
It's presented here without any kind of
without comment.
Yeah, presented without comment.
I would love a lawyer to like argue for like, Your Honor, my client was influenced by extremely low frequency radio waves.
All right, they're tripling down. On August 4th, 2013, Naval police were called to Alexis' hotel at Naval Station Newport. This is nice. You don't want to be at Naval Station Marlboro Menthol. You want the real deal.
Yeah. So you want to be at Naval Station Cool.
Well, there's two.
That's actually where you do want to.
Well, there's two kinds of niggers. There's Newport niggers and Cool niggers. That's the two choices, really. I've seen them, you know, equally. I wonder what it, like, means about their personality.
It's where Virginia Tech gets all their football players. Yeah. It's Newport News.
And he found that he had taken apart his bed, believing someone was hiding under it, and observed that Alexis had taped a microphone to the ceiling to record the voices of people that were following him. At the time of the incident, he was working for a contractor at the base. On August 23rd, he showed up at a Providence, Rhode Island emergency room complaining of insomnia. He was prescribed 50 milligrams of trazodone, a serotonin antagonist and reuptake inhibitor antidepressant. 5 days later, he sought treatment for insomnia in the emergency room of the VA Medical Center in Washington, D.C., where he told doctors he was not depressed and was not thinking of harming himself. He was given 10 more tablets of trazodone. So
can I just reflect on the fact that we have this revolving door system where crazy ass niggers that are hallucinating and think that they're being followed at paranoid delusions. We just we give them some pills, turn them loose. You're good.
Well, the issue here is that too many of these type of niggers are dying in encounters with police. So we need to have de-escalation social workers out instead of these. And there are occasional cases where you get one a black person who's just like this. Who was having a little bit of a public moment and did end up getting shot by the police. Like this happened a few times. And then the local libtards go crazy and they're like, why did they have to shoot? And it's like, well, listen, my attitude to that, even like earlier on before I was white nationalist, was kind of like, honestly, like, even if maybe you could say technically they didn't need to shoot him, like, everybody's kind of better off now. So, you know, like, just the problem's been taken care of. Like, we just don't need this, but yeah.
So there's nothing about a trial because he was actually killed by... He was killed by the police. He was killed in a shootout with police. So that's why there's nothing about a trial.
Okay, so here's one we have to do, okay?
Okay, let's
do it. On the list. Yahweh Ben Yahweh. Okay, this one we got to do, right? So I got Yahweh Ben Yahweh here. So born
Lon
Mitchell Jr. in 1979 founded and led the Nation of Yahweh, a new religious movement headquartered in Florida that had thousands of black American devotees at its peak. He preached that Satan's black, but white devils are in charge temporarily. He was accused.
So blacks are just temporarily embarrassed, like dark lords of hell?
Yeah, they're just temporarily embarrassed demons. He was accused of teaching hate. Yahweh was later indicted on 3 counts of federal racketeering and extortion charges, of which he was found not guilty. However, he was convicted of conspiracy to convict murder. Yahweh Ben Yahweh was born one of 15 children.
Wow.
To Hulon Mitchell Sr., the minister of the Antioch Church of God in Christ in Enid, Oklahoma. He enlisted in the military, attended law school. He moved to Atlanta, where in the 1960s he joined the Nation of Islam and took the name Hulon X. After leaving the Nation of Islam, he became a faith-healing Christian preacher and named himself Father Mitchell, fashioning himself after Father Divine and Samuel Father Jehovah Morris, two African-American ministers and self-proclaimed divine connections to God. Then he moved to Miami, Florida in 1978, where he gathered members of the city's black Hebrew Israelite congregation and founded the Nation of Yahweh. Nation of Yahweh set up its headquarters in Liberty City, broadly classified as a branch of the Hebrew Israelite movement. Yahweh Ben Yahweh's doctrine emphasized the belief that God and Yahweh all the prophets of the Bible were black, and that blacks would gain the knowledge of their true history through Yahweh Ben Yahweh himself. He characterized whites and Jews as infidels and oppressors, also telling his followers that Satan was black and skin color didn't matter, while at the same time having whites, Jews, and all nationalities supporting and following him. I doubt Jews are doing that.
Followers, Satan was black.
Yeah.
Whites and the Jews.
I think the thing is, this nigga was just stupid and crazy, so like it doesn't really matter. Like he would have just said whatever. Like, yeah, Satan was black. Because the thing is, the problem you have when you're black and you're doing this kind of thing is you're like, Satan is powerful, right? So then Satan should be black. Just because Satan has a lot of power.
When you're doing this kind of thing and you're black, you don't have very much to work with up here.
Yeah, the problem is you're just like a stupid, crazy nigger, really, is what it is. And you've been given a bunch of random, like basically you've heard through cultural assimilation a bunch of stuff about Jesus, God, Satan, some religious stuff has gotten in there. You may watch some specials on TV or something like that. And you spit it back out in just like a stupid and crazy way that doesn't make any sense, even relating to the original material. But apparently, I'm just waiting for when he killed people. Although Yahweh Ben Yahweh's followers remained devoted to him, he was accused by a few ex-followers. He served 11 years of an 18-year sentence on Racketeering Corrupt Organizations Act after he and several Nation of Yahweh members were convicted of conspiracy for ex-followers' role in more than a dozen murders. Robert Rosier, a former NFL player, confessed to 7 of these murders. So Jesus. Another one where he was having his followers kill people on his behalf.
Didn't he know he could just like write a book like, if I did it, here's how, instead of confessing to all 7 of those murders?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
So apparently then he died like soon after being convicted of this and going to jail, I guess. So. He was released on parole in 2001.
What?
Yeah, so he was actually released on fucking parole. So he died in 2007 after activities were severely restricted. Yes. Oh, God. His attorney, Jane Weintraub.
Why do they let these niggers out of prison? I mean, I guess at least this one went for a little while.
Not too long. Yeah, it looks like he was in jail on RICO longer than he was on conspiracy to commit murder, which is funny. I don't know. It's not entirely clear. This is a really poorly written article, so the timeline is actually not clear. when he was and was not in jail.
Oh, the DC sniper. I remember that.
Yeah.
They didn't really memorize all that one. Was it John Muhammad?
That was like too big of a deal, like when it was going on.
Well, yeah, because he did it.
What's the zebra murders?
I don't know.
Death penalty, right?
What about the death penalty?
I think one of them got the death penalty on that one.
I don't really remember.
Hey, let me look it up. I'm pretty sure one of them definitely got the death penalty, from what I recall.
The Zebra Murders, 1974. A string of racially motivated
racially motivated
and related attacks.
Four blacks here.
Four blacks in San Francisco, California. In October 1970, April 1974, they killed 15 people, at least 15 people.
What kind of people? If they were racially motivated, who were they killing? It actually doesn't say.
Chinese coolies? I don't know.
I'm curious. Does it identify the people? Okay, so...
Yeah, they fucking
targets, white Americans. Yeah, they do actually say straight up that white Americans were the targets.
They called themselves
the Death
Angels.
They killed homeless white men. Wow, what scumbags.
Some authorities believe the Death Angels, as the perpetrators called themselves, may have killed as many as 73 or more victims since 1970. Criminology professor Anthony Walsh wrote in a 2005 article, the San Francisco-based Death Angels may have killed more people in the early to mid-70s than all other serial killers operating during that period combined. What about, like, other time periods? Yeah, it says targets.
What about last week?
Right. Like, this is the thing.
Wow.
So
you see that, like, this Wikipedia article, like, it says targets, white Americans, and white Americans has a hyperlink. I just moused over it. White Americans are Americans who identify as and are perceived to be white people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
A little bit of a little patronizing.
Yeah? Yeah, I'm sure that article, it could be a whole subject of a show. But yeah, what's also interesting is in 1974, the mayor of San Francisco actually publicly stated... That these actually addressed these issues publicly, and said that in fact these murderers were targeting whites.
Wow!
It says Mayor Alioto announced the news of the raids and said the killings were perpetrated by a group who called themselves Death Angels, and targeted whites and dissident blacks. Now I mean is that true? But yeah, said their members had to show proof of attacks and murders to advance in the cult. May has killed as many as 73 people. Yeah, scholars continue to study this group. I don't know.
What's the study?
Interesting, though. Here's this. Criminology professor Anthony Walsh wrote in 2005, the San Francisco-based Death Angels may have killed more people in the early to mid-1970s than all other serial killers operating in that period combined.
I just read that.
Oh.
You must not have been listening.
And we made a joke about it.
Wow, I'm sorry. I definitely was reading, not paying attention to what you were saying. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. What was the joke?
I wasn't really a joke. I just said what about other time periods? Like, what do you mean? Like just that time period? Like these guys seem to have killed a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean that's actually I wish I was paying attention. Sorry, I was actually paying attention. I was just reading other parts of the same.
Yeah, no, I get it. I do the same thing. There's details of these shootings and stuff. There's nothing really much to it. It's just brutal.
Well, the interesting thing about it is how many people they killed and how it's just like not known today, right? Like,
right.
Why does everyone know about like John Wayne Gacy and like Ted Bundy, but no one's heard of this? These might be the worst serial killers ever, right?
Jesus Christ. The Zebra Check Program. What the fuck is this? It's in reaction at the end. Let me just start this over on here. The new wave of murders on January 29th shocked the city, and people renewed precautions being taken during the first wave. The city suffered losses in revenue by dramatic drop in tourist traffic. Streets were deserted at night, even in North Beach, a neighborhood with 7 nights a week nightlife. Police decided to take drastic measures. Inspector Gus Carreras dictated generic suspect descriptions with the best-known characteristics of the killers. USFPD sketch artist Hobart Nelson, who drew two composite sketches based on the descriptions. Scott and San Francisco Mayor Joseph Alioto announced that the officer would begin stopping and questioning large numbers of black citizens who resembled descriptions of the killer. a black man with a short afro and a narrow chin. Once stopped, checked, and cleared, each citizen received a specially printed zebra check card from the officers that they could show if the police tried to stop them again. More than 500 black men were stopped by police during the first week of the program as an operation. The zebra check program provoked vocal and widespread criticism from the black community. However, Dr. Washington Garner, the first black member of the police commission, called for blacks to be understanding of the exceptional circumstances. The policy also faced internal criticism. Officers for Justice Group, led by Nation of Islam associate Jesse Byrd, described the policy as racist and unproductive. Acting on a lawsuit filed by the NAACP and the ACLU, District Judge Alfonso Zerpoli ruled the widespread profiling of blacks was unconstitutional, and police suspended the operation. Interesting stuff. It's racist to do anything to try to stop black serial killers.
That's crazy.
So
did you
these people were still at large at that time. It's not like they stopped. Okay, it wasn't until April where they made an arrest of somebody. Yeah. Okay.
So despite this group that was like racially targeted, it's interesting. So this is something I didn't know, and you would think we should know it. The worst serial killers in the United States was a group of blacks that were targeting white people.
Yeah. There you go.
That's a feather I'm going to keep, I'm going to put that one, tuck that away for use.
And they were caught
next time I need it.
And when police tried to do the needful, do stop and frisks and check on people based on the descriptions and composite sketches of the perpetrators, they were cracked down on by the ACLU and the NAACP in lawsuits. Yeah. And they had to stop doing essentially a stop and frisk. I mean, they were doing blacks.
That basically amounts to we are okay with just a lot of white people getting butchered, murdered.
Well, it's just like it's like
we'll protect that.
There's like how many whites have to die for there to not be this race? All of them. That's basically what it is. It's disgusting. But I guess they got a lucky break in the case a few months later, because that was in January. I guess that happened in January.
Yeah. Did you read this thing about here's something interesting. Following the offer of $30,000 reward, a break in the zebra case came with Anthony Harris. Did you read the details of this?
No, I just skimmed over that. I saw that's where they finally found
somebody. This is, listen to this. So this guy, Anthony Harris, was an employee at Black Self-Help Moving and Storage.
So when you self-help yourself police. That's when you like help yourself to whoever you're helping move. Like
this, this is the idea of we're going to have black owned business, right?
Yeah.
So
a moving company that steals your valuables. Self-help.
So help yourself. To
help yourself, black moving company.
And moving it and storing it, yeah. So he provided specific details regarding several attacks, which the police never released to the public. Harris denied that he had committed any killings, but admitted that he had been present at many of them.
Oh.
Harris told the police...
I was there, but I didn't pull no trigger. How was
he related to the Nation of Islam security branch? Listen to this. Security branch Fruit of Islam. He also told them of a homicide that did not make the papers. The group had abducted a homeless white man, John Doe, number 169, from Ghirardelli Square. They took the man to Black Self-Help Moving and Storage's warehouse, where they gagged and tied him, according to Harris. While the man was conscious, others of the group took turns hacking away at his limbs.
Jesus.
Harris told the detectives that they had dumped the body into the bay. He told his story in such detail, police were convinced of the veracity. In addition, it affirmed the recovery of a body on the previous December 24th, 1973, that was bound and badly butchered male torso with missing limbs, hands, feet, and head.
Jesus.
It washed up in the city's Ocean Beach district.
Lovely.
Harris provided the police with names, dates, addresses, and details, enough information for the prosecutor to issue arrest warrants against suspects. So
Jesus
anyway,
Christ.
They were basically saying
he got immunity for that. He got fucking immunity for giving that up.
Yeah, he got immunity because he gave them enough to get everyone else. He probably also got the fucking $30,000.
Fuck that. Throw him in jail, too. Say, thanks for your help.
I would be like, yeah, by the way, the immunity, we're lying.
Yeah, we're lying to you.
Sorry, buddy.
Fucking. Simultaneous.
But yeah.
May 1st, 1974, simultaneous police raids during the pre-dawn hours were made Arrests of Larry Craig Green and JCX Simon in an apartment building. Yeah, none of this is really that interesting. After that, it's like, you know, scholars continue to study the group.
Do they, though? Do they really? I mean, if I search, like, zebra killers, I'm sure I'll get this, but, like, what kind of info will I get? I mean, is this, there's not... Okay, Criminal Minds Wiki fandom. It's probably just a repeat of the Wikipedia article.
Well, what's Your Black Muslim Bakery? There's all these, like, see alsos at the bottom. Your Black Muslim Bakery was an American chain of bakeries opened by Yusuf Bey in 1968 Santa Barbara, California, a powerful broker at the center. Well, what was it? What happened? Oh, it was linked to widespread physical and sexual abuse, welfare fraud, and murder. Of course.
So, there's actually a book you can get called Zebra Murders, A Season of Killing, Racial Madness, and something else. Was it? Season of Killing, Racial Madness, and Civil Rights, of course. Of course they're going to relate it back to that. What does that have to do with
civil rights? There's an argument against civil rights.
Well, yeah, I mean... The thing is,
this is after, this is post civil rights. I mean,
what's funny is it shows you, because, you know, sometimes, you know, the Nation of Islam, you know, they're like critical of Jews and such like that. But apparently, you know, you can't really stop. It's hard to stop blacks from kind of like being who they are.
Yeah.
And giving them even this like little bit of organization. You know, the Nation of Islam, of course, because they can't cuck either. So they had to, like, they didn't ever, like, disavow, and they, like, obtained the lawyers for these people and such.
Sure.
But the question is, it's like, did you approve this? Did this come out of your organization? Was this part of what you were doing? Like, what's going on here? But what's also funny is that whenever you hear criticism of the Nation of Islam, you don't hear about this.
No, I've
you
never,
only hear
I've never
that, like,
before.
Louis Farrakhan said something bad about Israel.
Or the Nation of Islam is about not being this kind of person. This is what gives black people it gives young black men like a moral direction, you know. You end up like Brother Mousson.
That's like basically at this point like impossible.
That's what people
used
to say.
Brother Mousson was a murderer too, though.
That's true.
Even though he's a fictional character. Yeah. But
nigger with a library card. What a nigger with a fucking Beretta. Fuck you. That's what America's scared of. A nigger with a Beretta and the idea that he's being oppressed. That's fucking, yeah. That's a pretty horrific story. Why don't we have I guess they did. They did some cheesy TV shows about it, right? I'm sure they found a way to take up for the cause of niggers in this. Like, what TV shows did you say? You mentioned something in here. Oh, I'm on the wrong Wikipedia.
So there's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Get Man, or no, it's called The Zebra Killer. Came out in 1974. A police officer becomes obsessed with a sadistic serial killer called The Zebra Killer after his girlfriend is kidnapped, and he discovers a string of brutal murders along the way while tracking him down.
Mm.
So this is like a blaxploitation flick where like everybody is black.
All right.
So they basically... And this happened at the same time. So, you know, Hollywood, of course, came out with a movie to kind of like diffuse the situation, right?
Yep.
Like let's create a movie about a zebra killer that's just like different from the one that's actually going on in the headlines. Directed by a guy named William Girdler. I'm trying to see if he's a Jew. He's not black. I don't know if he's Jewish or not. He might just be like, I can't imagine that a non-black producer of blaxploitation films is anything but Jewish, but I can't get a confirmation on it. Anyway. Yeah. It could also be that just like, oh, Zebra Killer is in the headlines. Let's just make a movie called Zebra Killer. Yeah. But yeah.
It's just exploitation.
Make it seem kind of cool and dangerous. Ooh, he's the Zebra Killer.
But it's funny because the tagline for the movie is "No black man has ever killed like this."
That's I'll press X to doubt on that, no matter what the circumstances.
Yeah, I was gonna say they seem to have a lot of variety.
They found like several ways. Hartford distributor shooting. The Hartford was a mass shooting on August 3rd, 2010, in Manchester, Connecticut. The location of the crime is a warehouse owned by Hartford Distributors, a beer distribution company. Gunman, former employee Omar Sheriff Thornton, shot and killed 8 male co-workers before turning the gun on himself. Excessive citations. That is the opposite of citation needed. He was called into his place of employment for disciplinary purposes. Thornton had been recorded on surveillance video in the distributor's warehouse stealing beer on a previous occasion. He was also implicated in the theft of empty beer kegs. Like $75 a pop, you go return those somewhere. Budweiser probably given the option of being fired or resigning, Thornton signed the resignation papers and was being escorted out of the building. Instead of leaving, he took a Ruger SR9 semi-automatic pistol from his lunchbox and opened fires. How many bullets does Ruger SR9 hold? I mean, you got 9, but what does the SR mean?
I'm just going to go with 9 because I'm not sure.
At the time,
maybe it's like,
I mean, he shot
super
8.
Release.
Well, you know what? He shot eight people in himself.
So there you go. 9
there
bullets.
There you go. 9 bullets. Whoops. I hope I didn't stop any. Just hit a button. I didn't disconnect from the internet, did I?
Okay. No, I'm still here. Yeah.
At the time Thornton starts, there were 40 employees in the building. In just a few minutes, Thornton murdered 8 coworkers and seriously injured 2 others. Oh, so he's got extra bullets. Maybe he reloaded. Many employees made calls to 911.
Maybe more handles on
some callers identifying Thornton. Police arrived on the scene 3 minutes after the first 911 call. Wow. The police entered the building 10 minutes after the first 911. So, wow, much better than Uvalde. Well, did they come inside and, like, sit there for an hour? It's like screams of beer distributor workers edited out. Have you seen that? Have you seen what happened? There's an Uvalde video of cops just, like, sitting around doing nothing. And, like, at the top of the screen, it says editor's note. The screams of children have been removed. Yeah.
It's not a meme?
Yeah. No, it's not. So. Well, it's been turned into a meme. Like, there's a thin blue line flag
now. But it wasn't
now
created
says,
as a meme.
No. I'm thinking, like, they wanted to have this footage out, but, can you edit out the screaming? This is going out to the public. And the editor was being like, yeah, I'll edit that out for you. But we'll make sure everybody knows I did it, though. You would think that
he
says editor's note, children screaming have been erased. So some people are making, I've seen a meme of like a thin blue line flag and in the stripes, it says the screams of children have been muted or whatever. The hell.
Cops, the reputation of cops is really not going to survive that, dude. They was already bad enough, but like they were requiring on like dumbass right wingers being the last people that would even support them. But at this point, no, not even them. Not even them. No one has any reason.
I can't even think of a reason why that would have happened. They just went in the building and just sat around for. The other meme I saw was like they were on the scene for the same amount of time as the Morbius movie. Like the running time was the same. Was like,
oh my god!
Somebody was making that. I'm like, oh no! It was like an hour 48 minutes or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Well, here's my question: so the chief of police in that town was a beaner. How many of the actual cops were beaners?
From pictures,
multiracial force.
Pictures I saw, a lot of them were beaners, from what I've seen. Everybody there is
a beaner. Place. Everybody's a beaner.
Just doesn't make sense.
This is what we got to do. Kentucky Fried Chicken murders.
I would imagine
the Kentucky Fried Chicken plant or the restaurant.
I would imagine that there are too many Kentucky Fried Chicken murders to just call one murder. The Kentucky Fried Chicken murder.
Yeah, that's
like
what I'm saying.
But this one gained some note for whatever. Oh gosh.
Well, Jesus.
Because it was
almost
like
knocked
plant,
over my mic.
Right?
No. It says okay. Kentucky Fried Chicken murders were an armed robbery and mass murder took place at a Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant in Kilgore, Texas, in 1983. For over 2 decades, it was unsolved.
Oh.
Amazing. Wow. I guess they solved it.
How could you guess what happened here? We have a double murder in a Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant. What could have happened? We just don't know, Chief. It's a cold case.
So, interesting. It says, for 22 years, the case remained
cold
unsolved,
the next
several
day.
People were arrested.
Oh. We made a lot of arrests.
Discovery of a torn fingernail on one of the bodies led to the arrest and charging of James Earl Mankins, Jr., a man with prior drug convictions who was also the son of State Representative Jimmy Mankins.
Ooh.
However, DNA analysis concluded the fingernail was not his, and he was released.
Then how did
in November 2005, two men already in prison for other crimes were arrested and charged. Cousins Darnell Hartsfield and Romeo Pinkerton. At the time of the arrest, Hartsfield was serving a life sentence for aggravated perjury in connection with the case. So he already had like
lied. That's one of my favorite things. It's not the only story like this where you'll see they've solved a cold case, but that
and the guy's just already in jail.
He's already in a life sentence. He's not just in jail. He's already in a life sentence for some other shit.
Yeah.
The fucking
we're probably gonna get fewer and fewer of those.
I wish the KFC murder would have delivered a little better than that. That's kind of.
Yeah, not really much. I'm kind of wondering what happened. Let's see what happened, though, okay? September 23rd, 1983, just before the restaurant closed, armed robbers held up the Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant. Five people in the restaurant at the time were either employees or waiting for someone there, were abducted, taken to a nearby field on County Road 232, each executed with a shot in the back of the head. Okay, that's a little bit fucked up and different, right? Yep. One of the victims had been raped. They are identified as David Maxwell, Joey Johnson, Monty Landers, Mary Tyler, and Opie Hughes.
What?
I wonder how, yeah.
Opie Hughes.
Opie Hughes, yeah. I mean, any one of the, all of these.
That's literally his name. Yeah. That's literally Clint. That's literally Opie's name. That's funny.
That's actually Opie from Opie Anthony. That's his real name.
Pretty sure, yeah. Maybe I'm misremembering. I'm pretty sure Hughes is the last name.
But imagine if that was him.
I think it's Greg Hughes, yeah. I think that's his name.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Maybe that's where he took the name from. I doubt it.
Maybe did that guy die because he wasn't funny, too?
I don't. Yeah, they told him to tell jokes and he couldn't do it, yeah.
Stop putting the brakes on fun, Opie. And then they shot him in the...
AFC. DNA evidence taken from Opie Hughes' body found some distance away from the rest of the victims found indications
Jimmy Norton
of
did it.
Breaks on fun and...
oh, no, that was his career that Jimmy Norton killed. Sorry, not his actual... Oof.
Yeah, is it legal to murder someone's career? I guess so. Anyway, wow, there's a lot of these guys. He's got other non-whites and not all blacks. Appalachian School of Law shooting. I remember, he's got this little known, people forget about this, the Case Western Reserve shooter. Was this Bangladeshi guy named Biswanath Halder. I remember this shooting. Oh, man, I remember when this happened. This is only death 2, 1, injured 2. And I just remember it being like a lot worse than that when it was on the news. But, all right. I remember I was watching TV at the time that one was going down, so I remember that one. Dude, there's so many of these.
So I've got an actual like serial killer type guy here. Alton Coleman. Born 1955, died 2002. American serial killer who, along with accomplice Deborah Brown, committed a crime spree across 6 states in the Midwest between May and July 1984 that resulted in the deaths of 8 people. Coleman, who received death sentences in 3 states, was executed by the state of Ohio! I told you Ohio was good in 2002. Everyone always dumps on Ohio, but here you go. Ohio's out there killing niggers. Brown was sentenced to death in Ohio and Indiana, but the sentences were later reduced to life without parole in 140 years, respectively. Wow. Hmm. Let's see. So, Coleman's mother worked 3 jobs, and he lived with his 73-year-old grandmama, middle school dropout. He dropped out of middle school at age 23. Coleman was well known to Illinois law enforcement, having been charged with sex crimes 6 times between 73 and 83. 2 of those cases were dismissed, with Coleman pleading guilty to lesser charges in 2 and twice being acquitted. Coleman was scheduled to go to trial in Illinois on charges stemming from the rape of a 14-year-old girl when he fled and began his killing spree. We got a real... Chris Rock says this doesn't happen, right? You got like a
This never happens.
You got like a sex crime.
You should
just
put this up in the background here. This is a good one. A good old stone toss with the classic.
That was my own link from to hit to Johnny's.
You didn't get like the sub link because it should be a stone. Well, it's a stone toss where the NRA guy is talking to the SJW. SJW is ranting about like the latest massacre, and the NRA guy says he was black, and the SJW is just quiet after that. So
yeah, it didn't load.
Oh, it's
I got it. I found it. Everyone can now look at it. How can you ignore gun violence in America? A shooter just massacred a dozen people. He was black. It's very good. It's a good one. I like that.
I see. That's another one. That's another one of those, you know, stone toss. You know, sometimes it's a bit hit or miss, but when it hits, you know,
that usually sums it up perfectly.
Usually hits.
I don't really recall him missing. I must not follow close enough. So we got this nigger here. Rape of a 14-year-old girl when he fled. Oh, but Coleman was diagnosed with mixed personality disorder with antisocial, narcissistic, and obsessive features.
And that's an eclectic, he's like a cocktail of the personality.
Why? But like,
well, like a,
do on we, one hand, we, I'm a paranoid nigger, and on the other, I'm a violent nigger.
Well, he's got like a cocktail of personality disorders. It's like, it's kind of like a unique blend. It's like artisanal. Like it's
hold
like
on,
a,
hold on. It's not even
it's like
done
an artisanal
yet.
Blend
you guys,
of
like,
personality
gotta,
disorders.
You guys,
I've got a little narcissism, a little paranoia.
Gotta let me read because it's not over
a little
yet.
Paranoid delusions.
There are so many ingredients in this cocktail. You just gotta let it go. Mixed personality disorder with antisocial, narcissistic, and obsessive features, with additional diagnoses including epileptic spasms, psychosis, and borderline personality disorder.
That's quite a heady cocktail.
It's like you're just trying to, like, this is just a nigger. This is a violent, sick nigger. Like, why? Like,
so this is just a black person. Like, stop trying to...
Like, psychoanalysis is, like, should be for people with, like, higher brain function than niggers. It's like, then you're trying to get into, like, what's wrong with this person's, like,
well,
social
like,
interactions.
What sort of... What kind of like salient behaviors do these psychological disorders
rape
manifest?
And murder,
and are
rape,
these
murder,
just
stealing?
Like the things that black people be doing?
Basically, Deborah Brown, one of 11 children, this is his accomplice, is borderline intellectually disabled. Again, just to, oh, suffered head trauma as a child, and diagnosed with dependent personality disorder by a psychiatrist. She was engaged to another man when she met Coleman in '83, but left her family and moved in with him shortly thereafter. Although a willing participant in Coleman's assaults and murders, Brown had no history of violence or any criminal history prior to their relationship. So, Coleman and Brown committed their first murder when they killed 9-year-old Vernita Wheat from Kenosha, Wisconsin. After Coleman had befriended her mother, Juanita Wheat, he abducted Vernita and took her to, I don't know how to, like, these Wisconsin, Waukegan. On May 29, 1994, Vernita's badly decomposed corpse was discovered on June 19th in an abandoned building 4 blocks from Coleman's grandmother's apartment. It was determined she had been raped, and the cause of death was ligature strangulation. Is that a blood choke? On May 31, Coleman befriended Robert Carpenter in Waukegan and spent the night at his home. The next day, he borrowed Carpenter's car to go to the store and never returned. There's all those personality disorders, all the raping, killing, and stealing of cars. Hey, yo, man, let me buy you a car. I'll be right back. I'm going to the store. In June 1984, Coleman and Brown were in Gary, Indiana, and encountered two young girls there, 9-year-old Annie and her niece. What? A 9-year-old and the 9-year-old's niece, 7-year-old Tamika Turks?
Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
The couple sexually assaulted the two children. Annie survived the violent attack, but Tamika did not. Her partially decomposed body was discovered on June 19th, the same day Donna Williams, a 25-year-old woman from Gary, disappeared. On July 11th, Williams' decomposed body was discovered in Detroit, about half a mile from where her car was found. She had been raped and killed by ligature strangulation. On June 28th, Coleman and Brown entered the home of Mr. and Mrs. Palmer Jones of Dearborn Heights, Michigan, whom they beat severely. Coleman ripped the telephone from their wall before stealing money and their car. Doesn't end there. I mean, this is quite the spree. This is fucking sick. On July 5th, Coleman and Brown arrived in Toledo, where Coleman befriended Virginia Temple, the mother of several children. When Temple stopped communicating with her relatives, authorities entered her home and found her young children alone and frightened. Temple and her eldest child, a 9-year-old Rochelle, had been strangled to death and left in the crawl space.
Yeah, if you look at this nigger, this looks like this is a crazy ass fucking nigger.
I mean,
like, this
you mean
is a particularly.
You mean he looks unremarkable? I mean, that's how I.
Yeah, I guess.
On the same morning as the Temple murderers, Coleman and Brown entered the home of Frank and Dorothy Duvendak in Toledo, who were bound with electrical cords which had been cut. The couple stole their money and car. And Mrs.
Those people are probably white.
Yeah, Mrs. Dovendak's stolen watch was later found under another victim. Later that day, Coleman and Brown visited the Dayton home of Reverend Millard Gay and his wife, Catherine. The two stayed with the Gays and accompanied them to a religious service on July 9th, where the next day the Gays dropped off the couple in downtown Cincinnati. Good going, Gays. On July 12th, Tawny Story, a 15-year-old girl who lived in Cincinnati's Over the Rhine neighborhood, disappeared. Her body was discovered 8 days later. The bracelet that had been stolen from the temples was found under her body. On the day of Story's disappearance, the FBI added Coleman to its 10 most wanted list as a special edition as the 11th most wanted. So this one literally goes to 11. There's one more wanted.
Oh, man.
Coleman was...
I guarantee you this dude was white, Harry Walters.
So Coleman was just the 10th person since the initiation of the list in 1950 to merit inclusion as an 11th 10 most wanted person. Wow. Coleman and Brown bicycled McNabb.
Oh.
Into Norwood on July 13th at about 9:30 a.m. Less than 3 hours later, they drove away in a car belonging to Harry Walters, who they left unconscious, and his wife, oh my God, Marlene, who was raped and beaten to death. Jesus Christ, these fucking niggers. Walters survived and later testified that they had met the couple to discuss their potential purchase of a camper, but that Coleman had attacked him with a wooden candlestick. You can't sell things to Sun, man.
This is why you can't ever have blacks come to your house.
The coroner indicated that Marlene had been bludgeoned approximately 20 to 25 times during her violent assault. God. Shards of a broken soda bottle, which bore Coleman's fingerprints, were found in the living room, and bloody footprints made by two separate pairs of shoes.
These people were also white.
Were found in the basement. Yep. Walters,
because they're selling a camper driving a Plymouth Reliant. Yeah. These were white people.
Yep. The Walters red Plymouth Reliant, as well as money, jewelry, and shoes were stolen. Two bicycles, clothes, and shoes not belonging to the Walters had been left behind.
Yeah. So those are white people. Selling a camper, having bicycles, driving a Plymouth Reliant.
So 2 days
having a house.
2 days later, the Plymouth was found abandoned in Kentucky, where Coleman and Brown had kidnapped Olin Carmichael Jr., a college professor from Williamsburg, who had drove back to Ohio with Carmichael. And it's not Carmichael like you would normally see it. It's spelled weird. Carmichael locked in the trunk of his car. On July 17th.
These niggas just on a fucking terrorist.
Just on a terror.
Eventually they got caught.
On July 17th, they abandoned the stolen vehicle in Dayton, and Carmichael, who was still locked in the trunk, was rescued by authorities. Coleman and Brown returned to the home of the Gays, accosting them with guns. Reverend Gay, who at this time recognized Coleman as a wanted fugitive, asked, "Why do you want to do us like that, like this?" Coleman responded, "I'm not going to kill you, but we generally kill them where we go."
I'm assuming the Gays were black.
Sounds like it. Why you want to do
why
us
you
like this?
Why you going to do us like that? Yeah, that's... Yeah.
We're not going to kill you. We generally kill them wherever I must go. I must also rape. It's like the same kind of quote. Coleman and Brown took their car and headed back towards Evanston, Illinois. Along the way, they stole another car in Indianapolis and killed its owner, 75-year-old Eugene Scott. 3 days later, they were arrested in Evanston.
Dude. Racial motive. Some authorities believe that Coleman and Brown...
We're both
Afro-American.
So like Elon Musk.
Afro-American.
Oh, that's the old euphemism for them.
Yeah, Afro-American.
They're both moon crickets, Brock.
It redirects to African-American.
Yeah.
Usually selected black victims because they knew they would blend in better in the black community. Well, because they're black.
I think it's the murderers.
Noting that their crimes lacked a racial motive. However,
on because page 184 they lacked,
in the anatomy of a motive.
Because they lacked.
Yeah. John E. Douglas, a retired FBI profiler, states that Coleman, in the middle of a vicious sexual assault, went into a practically incoherent tirade about how blacks were forcing him to rape and murder other blacks, as if that could somehow explain and justify his actions. Okay, so that Coleman and Brown left a racist slogan, "All information is alleged," written in lipstick at the scene of the rape and murder of Tawny Story, one of their victims who was not Afro-American. How long ago was this fucking written?
This is alleged. So why is it only alleged? How could, I mean, we can find like a 70-year-old arrest warrant that was never fucking exercised at the bottom of a records room, but we can't find the we can't verify that.
Yeah. Well, the citation for that is in apparently an article that's not linked to from the Cincinnati Post, Alton Coleman, His Time to Die.
Well, the word lipstick links to an article about lipstick.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
That's helpful. I was looking to...
I didn't know what that was.
Jump right from Alton Coleman to lipstick. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I bet you if you compiled this list... Now, there's a link in this thread to a blog by a guy named Phineas Fury, Alternative News and Opinions, and you got to give Phineas Fury a little credit. He's ahead of the curve here. He wrote this article April 26, 2011. Rise of the Black Serial Killer. I have a vague memory of reading this before, but I could be inventing that in my mind. However, he makes the point, which we also made later on, that in fact... most black murders are committed between the ages of 18 and 24, which is not 13 to 50. He calculates that is, in fact, 2.3% of the population. So
that's most of the murders, but they will keep right on murdering until they're, 70?
Yeah.
Some of them.
So this is interesting.
I want to know more about this. I want to know more about the split of the percentages here, because it seems like blacks are staying violent for a while.
Yeah, historically, from 1980 to present, black serial killers have accounted for 26% of all solved murders from serial killers.
Oh, my.
In the past three decades, the number rises drastically to 38.9%.
Mm.
This trend shows no sign of stopping anytime soon. Estimates based solely off current trends place possible black serial killers for the decade we are in at anywhere from 62.5% to 75% of all serial killers.
Wow.
This is a very real possibility. So he's got certain stats, and I would bet you some of this is related to unsolved murders and classification as a serial killer.
See, this kind of statistical research is a lot more interesting than climate change. This is the climate change they should be talking about.
Right. Except it's like not changing. In fact, but the thing is, then he says this.
Yeah, it is changing. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
It is getting worse. When crunching the statistics, an even more startling trend surfaces. Currently, blacks are a minority in this country, represent about 12.6% of our population. This is 2011. Of this, black males represent 48% of the total, which equates to 6% of all U.S. population. This figure represents males from birth to death. A more fine-tuned number is needed when black males from 18 to 44 considered solely, it's found they make up only 38.6% of the previous 6%, or about 2.33% of the total U.S. population. Almost exclusively, the killer begin their rampage between the ages of 18 and 44. Bottom line is, a group that represents only 2.33% of the U.S. population has been responsible for producing serial killers responsible for over one quarter of the killings from 1980 to present.
We don't have a problem here. We're just bigots. It's all in your mind. So just an interesting little, just a funny little note here on this, what's this girl's name? Deborah Brown and Alton Coleman, who we've been reading about here before you went into that. The imprisonment of Brown. Brown, who was originally sentenced to be executed in Ohio for her complicity in the crimes, had her death sentence commuted to life imprisonment by Governor Richard Celeste in 1991. That's a charitable thing to do. In commuting Brown's sentence, Celeste cited her low IQ scores, ranging from 59 to 74, and her master-slave relationship with Coleman influencing her actions. So you're too stupid to be executed. Is that the same as not competent? Like, she's too dumb? It's like,
I've seen this before, though. They do this quite a bit. You've got these, like, pairs of killers. They'll say that the assistant here, they were brainwashed.
Oh, here we go. Brown was one of 8 Ohio death row inmates, including all 4 of Ohio's female death row inmates, to have her sentence commuted by Celeste, a staunch opponent of capital punishment, a week before he left office. Like, I wonder, did he know the details of these crimes, or is there just like an NAACP, ACLU, like nigger Jew version of these murders or the circumstances that they were, or something I just don't understand how someone becomes anti-capital punishment. I understand being anti-capital punishment when your concern is like not doing it to innocent people, but like turn that into like a principle and then let people like this off of it. It's like, just kill these niggers.
Dude, I got to give this Phineas Fury guy credit. Sure. His writing style is really funny. He's like, listen to this. It's like, he's got like a lot of the memes that later became like common talking points, like, mm-hmm. you know, just 11 years ago. So it's like, other reasons why black serial killers are on the rise have their roots firmly established in dictator Abe Lincoln's Reconstruction. When a black commits a violent crime against a white, the usual demagogues go to work spinning fanciful stories. They tell of how the poor, deprived black man in his lowly state rose up and smote the white man, showing he was an equal, no longer to be shackled or forced into servitude. They cry for his release, claiming that until America has reached a magical egalitarian utopia, this will continue to happen. Closely linked with this, the hip-hop music industry openly promotes and glorifies killing to a generation of young blacks. Charismatic rap stars unabashedly speak of killing whites, cops, and raping white women. Meanwhile, weak-minded whites feel guilty for any racialist thought they've ever entertained and raise their children to believe that multiculturalism is successful. This deadly combination pave a path of destruction for black males. They seek honor and prestige in their communities. While most turn to just rape, robberies, and gang violence, more and more are acquiring a taste for blood. As long as these dangerous trends continue, black serials will continue to grow more brazen as their ranks swell. Thankfully, the stories – this is where this guy gets – he starts going off the rails. Thankfully, the stories of these animalistic killers and the sad stories of their victims are being told more frequently on their internet. Additionally, new books are expected out over the next year in an attempt to fill the void. No. I don't know if that ever happened or if it did. I don't know how much the void was actually filled. But, yeah, I got to give a little credit to Phineas Fury for this stuff. Wow, he's got a – this dude – okay. All right. So his blog, the topics are home, anthropology, black on white crime, conspiracy, European heritage, history, illegal aliens. So, yeah. Funny stuff.
Oh. Well, I think we're good here. Oh my god, it's already 3:30.
Yeah, that was a fun thing.
There's so much more. There's so much. The problem with some of these that he had up there is like some of them are still just nigger killings. It's just that they just kill a lot of people.
They did, yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. The question is, like, how do you define...
This nigga got fired because they caught him stealing beer from his job, so he kills, like, 8 people and then kills him. It's like, fucking, like, why don't you just own that you stole the beer? You could probably get another job.
Well, you definitely could if you're black.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, and this is something, is that... You know, how many blacks are just, like, fucking psychotic?
They just are.
Like, how many black males are just psycho?
Well, I mean, when are we going to hear that? When are we going to hear that, like, mental health is white supremacy? Like, math is white supremacy? Like, all these things are white supremacy? Like, being of sound mind is white supremacy. Like, the expectation that one should be healthy is, like, these people are just... Because even reading these diagnoses and then citing the IQ is like, yeah, they're all going to have this problem. Low IQ... Psychopaths.
It's not like an artisanal cocktail of psychological disorders. It's like, you know, low frequency electromagnetic radiation.
Yeah. Well, it's just like it's just like zero empathy.
I can't get over that.
Compassion. Zero. I mean, it's an old, like, I don't know. It's like no value of life. Like somebody else that you don't know. Like it doesn't matter what happened to them. It's actually kind of funny.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean,
laughing.
You know,
at violence,
I was watching,
you know?
Ock Nation, to go back to the person we always use for content.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. I haven't actually watched him in a few weeks. Mm. He goes in fits and bursts because it gets, you know, it's kind of samey after a little while.
He also gets shut down, too. He got banned for posting for a while.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? I didn't know that. I never noticed that. But in this one he was doing, it was like a 13-year-old black had, like, shot some woman in a car. And they arrest him, and they're bringing him out. And he's like, I didn't do it. It was a mistake. I didn't do it. And he's like, look at this little some man. He's like, how many murders you think this little son man got behind him? He's like, I guarantee you it's 10.
Same thing. Absolutely.
He's like, he was basically saying there is no hope. He's like this, and he was basically pointing, he's a 13-year-old nigger. And he was saying, you know, I'm going to paraphrase in white people language. He was saying, like, this nigger is a psychopathic murderer. There is no hope. There is nothing that can be done. This is how he is. This, there's like a lot of us that are like this, and there's no solution to this problem. that's essentially what the purpose of the video was. But it was funny. They're bringing him out. He's doing an imitation. He's like, I didn't do it. It was a mistake. I didn't do it. It was a mistake. It was a mistake. It was a, no. It was an accident. It was an accident. That was, because that sounds even stupider
the
than
gun
it was
went
a mistake.
Off.
It was like saying like there was a way Nader say accident. It was an accident.
Accident.
And he's like, I guarantee you, this little Sun Man murdered at least 10 people. And there's another one where some black witness to a murder was on local news. He's like, look at his brother, man. His brother had a rough life. How many people this brother know got murdered? I guarantee you, at least 100. He's like, what do you think about that, Gladys? How many people you know that got murdered in your life? He's like, they're Gladys go their whole life not know a single person that got murdered. Can you even conceive of that, Sun Man? It's like, yeah, it's true. There are white people who go their entire life and not a single one of their acquaintances or relatives dies of murder.
Damn, I know too.
Yep.
I don't know any.
But well, even whenever your acquaintances are so well deserving of murder, sometimes
some of them, yes.
I know a guy from that was younger than me. He went to the same high school. He was a victim of just a random nigger like from behind.
Oh, but it was
throat.
A nigger murder,
of course.
That's true.
Yeah. Slit his throat in a fucking grocery store. Just bled to death
what?
Right there on the floor. Yep.
In a fucking grocery store.
Just
yeah,
fucking,
just for
just
no
cut
fucking
him down.
Reason.
No reason. Didn't know these people. Didn't know each other. Just random.
Yeah, it was no. Yeah, no. It was another one of these fucking psychopathic niggers.
And I know a guy that did a Chris Benoit situation,
which was what
the murder of the family and then suicide.
Oh.
I don't know why. I didn't know them well. It's like just an acquaintance, just somebody that I know.
Yeah.
I think there may have been cheating involved. I don't know. I'm not really.
Yeah,
the only
deaths I know of are suicides.
Yeah, the people I knew that have died in my life, it's been disease or suicide. No murders that I can think of off the top of my head.
I know of one girl who was murdered, but I didn't really know her.
I'm trying to think, yeah.
I'm not really in touch with that
murder,
community anymore, so I wouldn't know. But.
There was a kid in my high school that murdered his dad. I didn't know him, though. No. Shot his dad. Apparently he was being sexually abused or something like that. He took his dad's gun and threw him away. But,
based.
Yeah. The kid was a fucking mess, though. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I can imagine.
I mean, sure, the dad guy was coming to him, but that's not like that kid was. One, he's probably spent a lot of time in jail, and I'm sure he's just all fucked up anyway. Like, this is the kind of things. There's no healing from this kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's no happy ending for this kind of shit, right?
Nope.
But yeah.
Cool. Let's all have a nice weekend now.
Don't get murdered.
We didn't actually go. The one we didn't go into was Andrew Cunanan. Not Daniel Kincannon, but Andrew Cunanan. I don't even want to say the two in the same sentence.
Yeah, really,
that's
come on,
very
man.
Insulting. I'm sorry.
Kincannon is based as fuck.
Well, I was just thinking that, like, you know, the last name. But Andrew Cunanan was this fucking Filipino that was, like, he was a rent boy that would, like, kill the elderly faggots that would hire him out, including Gianni Versace.
Is this based? Can't tell.
No, he's just a psycho. He's just a faggot psycho. There's like old rich faggots would hire him and he'd kill them and take their shit.
All right, let's
the last
go.
Last guy he got was Versace.
Let's go so we can start this fucking upload.
Yeah.
Upload. Oh, God, I have to do two uploads. So I have to do that and then the audio. It's never going to happen. All right.
Yeah.
Everybody, all right, well, okay. Have a nice weekend. Try to forget about murder for a while. Just have a good time.
Yeah,
the sun's
this is a
out.
Weird segment to go into, but I didn't really have any other. Watch, there's something really important that happened and we just missed it. Oh, well, whatever. There's another show Monday.
We can't do prep while we're doing the show, as much as it looks like we're always doing that. Like,
my prep for the show was like actually getting out of bed and like slowly walking to my office and sitting down in my chair without like destroying my fucking...
My prep for the show was like talking to internet nerds who don't want to really help me that much.
I'm telling you, man, the Jesse Ventura
invitation
is prolonged.
Huh?
That has prolonged my
injury. Every day,
no, every day. I mean actual tech support, Alex.
He's actually
was random internet nerds.
No, not random ones. They were being paid to talk to me on the phone and essentially assert that their company had, you know, no fault in what was going on with my setup. So aggressively. So, oh, there's nothing.
Bureaucrat nerds.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get out of here. We'll see you guys later.
Why arrested Andrew Cunanan?
Oh, jeez.
Police consider few of the findings to be of note, except for multiple tubes of hydrocortisone cream and a fairly extensive collection of fiction by C.S. Lewis. I'm like, what is this, my room? Like, no, I'm joking.
right.
I'm only saying that because I have eczema, so I have to use the cortisone cream sometimes.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't hate unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.